Dakota. Give me a check 1, 2, 3 on your end.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, check 1, 2, check. Okay, looks good. I can always boost up your levels if I need them. And get this lined up. Okay, so, oh yeah, the other thing is that this is going to be a little bit more... I want it to be a little bit more, less interviewee and more like... I told you, you know, kind of like classroomy, I guess. So if you can give them anything to do, that would be awesome.
I always do now. I always give these guys, like, you know, a basic, and this is a very funny thing. I mean, one of the things, especially with Dirty Talk, that helps them do it to themselves.
Yeah.
Stand in front of a mirror. I mean, it's the most uncomfortable, and I've done it at seminars. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Whoa. Yeah, that's a good one to do there.
Yeah, it's brutal watching it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You sit there, and it's like I start sweating. I start thinking to myself, like, holy shit, if I was a woman right now, I'd run. All right, so yeah, I will make it classroom.
Okay, cool. Hang on, let me close my sliding glass door here. So, all right, started up the recorder, and 3, 2, 1. Hey guys, this is Carlo Zuma with your masterclass session for the sexual power class. What we're going to be talking about today with a good friend of mine, Mr. David Wygant, is about dirty talk. How you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing great, Carlos, and I love that term, dirty talk, because I think that's the biggest misconception in the world. I don't think guys even understand what it is, because I think you and I have talked about this. I think so many guys think dirty talk is saying, I want to lick your pussy.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is porn talk, man.
Yeah.
That's not dirty talk at all. Dirty talk is, there's so much more to it. There's the foreplay. There's the pre-dirty talk. There's the foreplay of dirty talk. There's the during-sex dirty talk. And then there's the closing dirty talk that gets her primed for the next thing. So I think a lot of guys don't even understand that four-step process at all.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. It's just... it's one of those misnomers to call it that, and that's one of the things we're going to straighten out in today's class. I want to give the guys a quick, brief overview of what the class outline is going to be for our call today. We're going to talk a little bit about what David just started on, which is, what is dirty talk? And we're going to talk about it not just being swearing at a woman or porn talk. We're going to talk about why you should be using it and the reasoning behind it and what the effect is on women, because it's a very important thing to understand the whole linguistic, the whole verbal thing with women is incredibly important. The different kinds of dirty talk and how it works and the triggers it actually pushes in women, the buttons it pushes, how to do it yourself, and things that you can do to become a master dirty talker. So, and maybe even a few places where you shouldn't do it or some of the mistakes that guys are making when they're doing dirty talk. So let's jump right in. David, you were starting off on that topic. What is dirty talk?
I mean, dirty talk basically is... very, and I want to put it this way, okay, and I want guys to understand one of the misconceived terms ever out there. A lot of guys will, you know, call that term sexual escalation, where they need to go into dirty talk. And what dirty talk is, at the beginning levels of it, is a very subliminal way to connect to her emotion. Because here's the deal, guys. You know, if you walk directly over to a woman, and women are not wired the same way as men. If a woman walks over to you and says, oh, God, I've been staring at your groin across the room, and I just want to go and lick your balls, right? The man instantly is going to get turned on. I mean, in a second, what man does not want a woman to walk over and lick his damn balls, okay? Even if he's got swamp balls, he'll let a woman lick his balls,
yeah,
okay?
Just a little ball washing.
Yeah, exactly. That is not what dirty talk is to a woman. A woman is, the second you see her from across the room, you walk over to her, and this is how you start dirty talking. This is where guys make the biggest mistake. You could see a woman, and I don't care, and I always love to throw it in because everybody knows me as Whole Food Dave, you know? So it's like, you could see a woman at the market, and she's smiling, and she's talking to the register person, and as she's walking out, you're walking in, and you see this whole energy that she's basically giving to the register person, that smile, the eye contact and stuff. You'll walk directly into her. You'll walk right towards her. You will make sure that you stop her in her tracks, and you do it with the beginning levels of dirty talk. You stare directly in her eyes. You stare right into her eyes, and you look at her and go, you have great energy. And I saw your smile right when I walked in here, and immediately I became attracted to that smile of yours. I said, you talking about? I'd love to know. The woman is going to stop. She's going to put down her bags, and she's going to tell you about the conversation she has with the register person, because what that just did to her was that ignited all her female energy. That ignited the essence of who she is as a woman, and that physically turned her on. Because women want a man that's in control, want a guy that can stop her on command. And it's the same way if you can stop her on command right from the get-go, from the second you meet her, you've heightened her sexual awareness, because most men are wimps and they're pussies. And most men don't do that. Most men don't understand that sexual escalation and dirty talk start from the second you start talking to her, the way you have your eye contact. And it's so important, and it goes further, Carl. So I'm going to take it further in on how a guy can take this one encounter at the market and how he can literally dirty talk her pants down by the end of the second or third day.
Yeah, definitely. Let's keep that on the roll with this. I want to just briefly go into, before we go into that, I want to kind of give some more of the I guess you call it the precursor stuff. We talked a little bit about why guys should use dirty talk, but can you talk a little bit more about the whole effect that the words have on women, and maybe a broader context, and just why this is so important?
Okay. Words are really important. I mean, you know, why words have an effect on women, because women are basically romantic comedies from the get-go. They want to really be controlled. Once again, most men sexually do not understand the essence of controlling a woman. And a lot of guys will think to themselves, I'm going out with this woman, man. I want to escalate sexually. How can I bring up the conversation of sex? By not talking about sex. Because women connect in so many different ways. One of my favorite ways to initiate any type of dirty talk is after the first date. After the first date, you're standing directly at a woman, okay? You're standing there, she's standing there. Most guys will think to themselves at that moment, I got to kiss her, or using a term that a lot of guys use, I want to kiss close her right now. Mm-hmm. I want to go, and I got to swap spit with her, because this is the only way that she's going to stay turned on to me. In essence, that guy will actually turn her off, because that lizard tongue is coming directly at her at 150 miles an hour. She's not into it. Women want the man that's in control of all aspects of their life, and I tell guys this all the time. Act like you just got laid the night before you went out with a woman, and you're going to have that unbelievable sexual charisma with it. Dirty talk starts, the essence of it, the words of it, is all about the way you speak to her on that date. When you're on that date and you go to the bathroom, you whisper, you get up from the table, you whisper in her ear and say, I'll be right back, don't miss me too much, okay? They love that. It's like, wow, this guy is in such control, don't miss me so much, I'll be right back. The words being whispered in her ear will touch her earlobe, will send out sensations into her mind, will get her mind thinking in so many incredible ways. But what happens at the end of the date is really the key to how you're really going to escalate with her sexually and get that dirty talk rolling along. Because what happens is you want to look at her and you want to be in complete control at the end. So you want to look directly in her eyes. Always look directly in her eyes. Look at her. Take your hand, okay, and move it up her arm right to the back of her neck. Pull her in close. Give her a little kiss, a peck on the lips. Now pull back. She's going to be staring at you wondering, wow, look at that guy just did. He took control of me. Then the words you use in this situation are really important to get her into a very sexual spirit, is what I like to call it, and get her to think of you sexually throughout the night. You want to look at her, you want to stare in her eyes, and you want to say, I'm out of here right now. I said, I need to control myself. My mom always taught me to be a gentleman. I said, if I don't get out of here right now, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you do it with a smile, and you look directly in her eyes. Then what you do is then you turn around, you count two steps, you turn back. Again, you look at her and say, I'll text you. I'll give you a text in a little bit. Make sure you're home, tucked in bed, perfectly fine, because I want to make sure that you have sweet dreams tonight. That, you just started. Sweet dreams, tucking her into bed. You've used subliminal, what I call subliminal dirty talk, to get her to think about you, because now when she comes home, she's thinking about the kiss that didn't happen, but the way you kissed her, this powerful feeling you gave her. Then what she's doing, okay, is she's waiting for you to text her. She's waiting for that good night text, which is so important. She wants to be tucked into bed by you, which is also the essence of getting her mind thinking in a very sexual way and also starting what I call dirty talk. These words lead to that. So what happens is you text her, and you give her a text in about 45 minutes, as you said you would, because a woman wants a guy that's basically punctual, says what he means, because a guy that says what I mean means creates a safe feeling for a woman, and those words of feeling safe and feeling of being safe gives her that incredible sexual
Mm-hmm.
Some of the time they're just going to write back and go, I'm all tucked in right now. So then you'll text back and just go, oh, man, you know, you text back. And you know, most guys will think at this point, what are you wearing right now? Mm-hmm. No, that's not it. You're in control. You know what she's wearing. She's either naked, she's wearing an old T-shirt, and a little pair, little tight little G-string underwear, okay, you know what she's wearing. At that point, you want to text her back and say, if you have trouble sleeping, let me know, because I've got great bedtime stories to soothe you by. Okay, if you have trouble sleeping, you're basically subliminally messaging. You're telling her she's going to have trouble sleeping because she's feeling you, because you've woken up her sexual being, you gave her that great kiss, you looked at her in the eyes, and you have great bedtime stories. She's curious now because women are very curious. What are his bedtime stories? What is this all about? What is he telling me right now? You know, and she'll toss and turn. And I got to tell you, if you do this right, half the time you'll get a text saying, hey, I can't sleep right now. Can you call me? And that's when you tell her a bedtime story and make her feel all safe, all warm, all fuzzy. Not sexual at all. It's all about, I'm going to tuck you in. Okay, here it is. Listen, if I was sitting there right now in your bed, I'd make sure you're tucked in really tight all over. Because who did that when she was a kid? Her dad did that. Her dad made her feel safe. She wants to feel that safe feeling again. She gives herself to a man that she feels safe, a man that protects her like her father. And what happened was when a little girl gets into bed and the dad tucks all four corners around there, the little girl feels safe from all the boogeymen that's out there and all the scary guys that's hanging out in the closet, you know. All this stuff brings you back all these incredible memories. And what happens at this moment, you say, you're all tucked in right now. All right, what's your favorite subject in the entire world? You know, I'm a phone, you're using words like that. If you listen to the tone of voice that I'm saying right now, I've gotten lower. What's your favorite subject? You know, and she'll tell you, she goes, God, I love The Princess Bride. They usually come up with something that is, you know, childlike and stuff. And then you tell her a story about The Princess Bride, but you describe the way the two of you met. You know, wow, it's like when I first saw the princess, she was in line at the market, and she was smiling so much. It's just like her smile just lit up this entire market. It was just one of the most incredible things I ever saw. And then I knew I had to go meet her, and I waited. I literally hesitated at the door, and I thought to myself, am I going to go talk to her, or am I going to wimp out right now? Well, a king and a prince doesn't wimp out. A king and a prince basically goes and he claims his woman. So if you listen to the way I'm saying that and the tone of voice that I'm saying right now, what happens is that you're taking her back to the moment that you first met. In that moment you first met, you're telling her how you felt, because a woman wants a guy that's expressive on her feelings. And what happens is that she is going back at it, and she's laying there in bed, all tucked in, all safe, all secure, and she's hearing the story, your side of it. And you're telling her how you got her number and how you called her and on the date, some of the things that you did. And you're giving her a rehash. And what you're doing is that you are turning her on ridiculous. You might hear her sigh a few times. And if you do, don't ask, where's your hand right now? Ignore it. Act like you know that she's being a naughty little girl under those covers. Act like it. Because she wants to be able to do it. She wants to know that she's safe doing it. And the fact is, if she's doing it and you're not saying a word about it, you know, you might be able to say to her, hey, I hear a little sigh, a little pause. I'm glad you're enjoying the story. Shall I keep going? You know, it's like you're encouraging her to do more, but you're being the secure guy, the confident guy that knows that she's expressing her sexuality in the privacy of her own room, and she's really connecting to you. That is the beginning stages of dirty talk and controlling her sexually.
That's good stuff, man. You hit on something in there, too, that I wanted to emphasize to guys. It's a slight side point, but it's still really important. And it's the tone of voice. Like, you're talking about deepening your voice. I don't know if you saw this recently, David, but they had an article, I can't remember which news site, but they talked about how they've done studies on men's voices, of course, and it proves out that men with deeper voices typically have more children. And it's, you know, obviously a lot goes in between there. It just implies that the guys had lower voices, they were actually perceived in these studies as being more dominant, older, healthier, and more masculine. And it's not something you know, you got to be careful faking it, because you don't want to try slipping on a Barry White tone of voice and be like, hey, baby. But just relaxing your voice and not being so pinched and nasal adds to this whole effect that we're talking about. It's a very subtle thing, but vocal tonality, whenever you're just talking to a woman, is immediately implying dirty talk in a way, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a good exercise that guys can do to do this. And it And I've turned nasally guys into great speakers. There's a breathing exercise all the time that you want to really speak. If you speak, you want to always speak from your diaphragm. Your diaphragm is somewhere around your rib cage, okay? It's down below. A lot of guys just talk like this. They talk just from their throat. You want to breathe in really deep. You notice the tone. I took a breath, and I got deep again, right? And then when I talk like this, it's like I have to take a breath because you're holding your breath literally when you're talking. So there's a phenomenal exercise that guys can do to really become good at this, and it's going to be a very expressive one also. What you want to do is you want to sit right in front of your computer, and you want to put a picture of a woman up on your computer, and that's it. Just a picture of her up on the computer. Basically put, you know, make the screen gigantic, get your email out, get Yahoo down, get fantasy football down, get everything down, okay? Put a picture of a woman up, and I want you to maintain eye contact with her, okay? And I want you to film it with your webcam. And I want you to look directly at her, and I want you to start talking, and I want you to tell a story. Tell the story about the you know, just like I did, make up a story about the prince and the princess, okay? Because everyone wants to be a princess. Every woman wants a man to be a prince, right? Make up a story and talk about it. And then what I want you to do is I want you to get lower in it, just like this, not like Barry White, hey, baby, what's going on? You know, it's like get lower in it. Just take your voice down one octave. Start off the story and go, all right, here it is, and have some enthusiasm. Here's the story about the prince and the princess. Say that to yourself. Here's the story about the prince and the princess. And let me tell you something. This princess is a really beautiful, sexy, incredible. And really resonate with those words, beautiful. Say it, sexy. And look at yourself doing it, because let me tell you guys something. When she sleeps with you, the next date, the date after that, guess what? When you sleep at her house, guess what she's going to want you to do when you guys go to sleep? She's going to want a story. And she's going to want to look at you and see you tell that story. So this is why it's so important to practice this. Learn what you're like, film it, and watch it. If you don't get remotely turned on one way or another, do it again and again and again. And I have turned the camera on many guys in my boot camps, okay, and I've made them do this. There's actually one on YouTube. Carlos, I'll send it to you if you want. It's hilarious that I made a guy talk about eating a peach and how juicy and wet it was. I mean, he's soaking wet in sweat. He was so nervous. But the bottom line is that you've got to learn how to talk, and you've got to learn, as Carlos said, and it's the truth. Guys with lower speaking voices are guys that are always getting laid because they know how to play with their voice. Listen to my voice tone, how it's changed so many different ways, how I'm emphasizing things to you guys. Practice it. Grab a story. Read a story. Listen to it back. Would you be turned on? Mentally, not emotionally. I'm not thinking about your emotions right now. Mentally, did you stimulate yourself? Do you feel any emotions? Ask yourself that question next. That's a great exercise for any guy to do for this.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking of that line from some movie, I could eat a peach for hours.
That's what I made him do. That's what I made him do from that movie. But I don't remember the movie either. What movie was that?
I think it was, well, Face Off had that in it, but it was just a one-liner that Nicolas Cage gives to this to somebody, but it, you know, they used it as one of the things. I could eat a peach for hours. And just had
And I remember he had like a seductive look too. And the great thing about doing this exercise is that if you have the video camera on you, the seductive look will also turn a woman on. It's not just about the words; it's the way you look at her. It's the way you want to eat her up. And the fact is, if you tell that bedtime story, I mean, we're moving forward, way forward in it, but when she wants it in her house and you're telling it to her face-to-face, laying in bed side-to-side, guess what's going to happen again? She'll probably pass out, but guess what the first thing she's going to do when she wakes up that morning? No, she's not getting a cup of coffee. She's going to use you as her caffeine jolt.
Yeah. All right, so we went through the whole what is dirty talk and why guys should use it. And I think it's pretty obvious right now if the guys didn't know or already know going into this. What are some of the other different kinds of dirty talk that guys can slip in or that they may not be aware of that could be used or leveraged as dirty talk?
I call it, to me, you know, we could do it via sexting or what I call bringing them back to the moment. For instance, okay, let's go for an instance, okay? You are at a ball game. The night before you slept with this woman that you just it was just unreal. I mean, it was crazy sex, okay? You did everything with her. I mean, it was just, she was very giving to you. She went down on you, you know, and usually women don't go down on you. And the reason why she did go down on you is I call it the power of, you know, I call it one of the powers of Bill Clinton, okay, or any rock star out there. If she deems you to be a rich, not rich, and I'm not talking about monetarily rich, okay, I'm talking about a rich man, meaning a guy that awakens up all her senses. She looks at you as a rock star. Hell, you can work at McDonald's and be a rock star. I mean, you really can. If she looks at you like that and she went down on you on the very first time, it means that she finds you powerful, sexy, you've awoken up all her sexual senses and she wants to gobble you up. So, but a lot of guys don't know how to follow up with that. And this is the key with dirty talk and sexting. You want to bring her back to that moment. So let's say you're at the ball game right now and she knows you're at a ball game because you've already told her you're going to a ball game the next night. In the middle of the ball game, usually the first or second inning, okay, she's very much aware of when that game started because throughout the entire day she's been thinking about you. You've already lobbed in a text around noon, okay, because basically you left around 9 o'clock. You lobbed in a text around noon, and the text said something like this. Last night was ridiculously hot, dot, dot, dot. That's it.
Mm.
Because it's going to bring her back to that moment. She's going to say, yeah. And then you're going to go and you're going to tease her a little bit more and go, "That I, if I wasn't at work right now, I'd get on the phone and I'd tell you what was my ultimate favorite part. But I'd have to leave work. And, but I can't do this at work right now because I won't be able to concentrate, smiley face, or dot, dot, dot." So she's going to come back. She's like, "What was your favorite? What was your favorite part? What was your favorite part?" Right? She's going to come back in a text. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to say to her is this: "Not now. I said, I got a big meeting right now, and I can't go in to that meeting thinking about this because I'll be a complete fool, dot, dot, dot. I'll share with you tonight when you're all tucked into bed." Okay? Mm-hmm. Bingo. I'll share with you tonight when you're all tucked into bed. What you did to her is you brought her back to the bedroom. You brought her back to the night that we were in. You notice I have not said one thing. It was about the blowjob you gave me, man. It was unbelievable the way you teabagged my balls, man, and the way you, like... You know, the way you suck each one in. I mean, you know, none of that crap. You haven't said anything yet. Because right now she's so much more turned on than she would ever turn her on in any which way using those words. And those other words are great to use when you're in the bedroom. They really are. Yeah. You know, when she's sucking your balls in the middle of it, and you tell her, "Man, babe, the way you suck my balls is like off the charts. It's the greatest thing I've ever felt. Oh, my God, I got to tell you that feeling, you know, you gave me." That is fine. That's bedroom talk. But right now, you just want to prime it again. You want to bring her back. So now the rest of the day, she's wondering, what is he thinking about? What was his favorite thing? She's talking about it with friends because women are so graphic with their friends. She's got sex on the mind all day long. She is basically dripping and oozing and guzzling for you all over again, okay? So now you're at the ball game. She knows you're at the ball game, okay? You want to go see her that night? You haven't arranged it yet? All you need to do is do this, okay? You're at the ball game. It's the second inning. You text her this: "I can't concentrate right now. Every single time someone comes up to the plate, holds a bat, all I'm thinking about is dot, dot, dot." Okay? Holding a bat. She knows what it's like holding a bat. It's holding a giant dick, and you are her giant dick. You're her giant penis, okay? And basically, she's going to be like, "What are you thinking about?" And then what you do is you bring her back to that moment one more time. The way you used your hands and mouth last night blew me away. I am antsy right now, dot, dot, dot. That's it. The way you use my hands, not like, "Oh, the way you sucked my dick." You know, not, you know, "Ooh, the way you sucked my dick," and each slurp that you did. A lot of guys think they need to get graphic like that. You notice I wasn't very graphic. A little graphic, but not very graphic. At that point, she's going to be like, "You ain't seen nothing yet," or whatever it might be. She'll text you something back. Then you'll just go back and forth with her and go, "I owe you. I believe, you know, you blew me away. I owe you right now. And all I'm thinking about right now is I've got a secret little trick that I got a little secret thing that I learned about you last night that I'm going to implement next time I see you." Secret trick? She's thinking, "What secret trick? What did I expose to him?" You see what you're getting at with her? Very subliminal the whole time. These words. This is a different kind of dirty talk here, man. You're starting up foreplay via sexting. You really are. Then when you get, then you can call her on the way home because she wants you to, because you've been playing, say, hey, I just left my buddy, you know. Then you just, you take her to a certain heated level and go, hey, I can't do this to my friend. I got to pay attention. I'm going to call you on the way home, right? So bingo, now she knows what time, she even has the game on TV. She knows what time it ends. You call her when you get in the car. The minute you call her and go, I got to tell you, way too many bats, way too many balls tonight, okay? I just kept thinking about the way you held my ball last night. And you make a joke about it to baseball, okay, which shows that you're not really, you know, you're not like this perv and stuff like that, you know, and you make like a little joke about it so it becomes light and fun so she doesn't feel like she's being used sexually here and that you can have an enlightenment. You talk, you know, you feel like the, she feels like there's like a friendship going. And she's like, yeah, she goes, I'm pretty damn good with the balls. And you're like, yeah, that you are. I said, but I got to tell you something. I want to share with you what you exposed to me last night. And she's going to be like, what? You exposed, you know, when I went down on you, okay, you basically exposed to me an ache that you had because you kept going right. She goes, what do you mean I kept going right? Your hips kept moving right because you liked the way that my tongue moved when you went right. I said, it was pretty cool. I said, you were communicating what you want. And I really love that because I want to know everything that you want sexually. I want you to be able to tell me what you want, what you desire. If my tongue's moving too slow, tell me, you know. If you want it fast or you want my finger in there, just tell me. I said, I want to learn everything about you. And it was so cool last night because I was enjoying that little subliminal hip thrust in the right direction, right? At this point, okay, what you just told her is that you want to, that you want to know everything sexual about her. You want to know all her sexual secrets. And at this point, she's going to feel very comfortable. Whether you're going to see her for a week, 2 weeks, or 10 years, she's going to expose her sexual secrets to you because she feels safe. And that, this to me is one of the best foreplay, the best ways to talk. And she's guaranteed you, she's going to say, what are you doing? You know, she goes, where are you driving right now? I said, I was going to drive home. She goes, take a detour. And then you take a detour, and then she's going to start to tell you, you're going to go, you're going to basically walk in, you're going to look at her clothes, you're going to rip it off, and you're going to do exactly, you go, you look at her, look in her eyes, and go, baby, I'm going right, and I'm going right now. And you work your way down because you basically primed her on the phone. You go right, and then you look up at her, which to me is one of the best forms of it. You look directly up at her, okay, because you're on your knees right now, okay, and you look at her and go, don't forget what I told you. I said, if you want something or need something, you tell me. And I'm going to take care of that need for you. Now that, to me, opens her up not only sexually, but she feels, like, safe with you. If you need anything, little girl, I'm going to take care of it. I'll pick you up at school. Brings her back to the whole feeling safe with her dad again. There's so much subliminal things to it. And, if, you know, and Carlos, you know this. If you noticed, I haven't really talked about it. I'm going to jam my fingers inside. I'm going to hit your G-spine. You're going to squirt all down my arm, babe. And then I'm going to lick it up, and I'm going to be a good little, you know. I didn't talk about any of that crap. You don't need to. This has opened her up sexually more than you'll ever open her up sexually.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've got two things out of that, and I think you can maybe elaborate or just confirm what I'm thinking. And part of it is the big aha a lot of guys should be having by this point is it's not really about what you're saying, even though it's obviously that you have to say something. It's the stuff that you're actually leaving out and leaving to her imagination that's actually more important than the things you say in a lot of ways. Would you say?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like her imagination is the key. I mean, she's a woman. She loves to talk. It goes down to the coffee shop example. I tell guys all the time, you want to learn how women speak, and I call it she talk. You want to learn the power of she talk? Go to a cafe that women are sitting on a Saturday having brunch. Go by yourself. Take your little social crutch with you, your little phone, so you can pretend you're reading something on it. And listen to the way women talk about their trip to Italy, about their new dress. Listen to how graphic they are about it. You're being basically graphic about something without really saying. You're really describing an emotion, a feeling, without having to say, like, I'm going to get you to come so hard. That's what guys do. You're taking her down an emotional path. It's the way her brain is wired. It's the way she functions, and it's the way she's been waiting for a man to do this ever since she was a little girl sitting around with Bride magazines. You know what I mean? It's like they don't change.
Yeah, I had a moment there when you said that. I was thinking Beavis and Butthead. He said, come. You know, that's the way women think about what the guy's mentality about this a lot of times too. So not only leaving what you leave out and don't say and you know, snicker at it secretly or, you know, smile, but the there's also the leadership and protection element that you brought out, which is really important, the making her feel safe, but also just the guiding hand. It's kind of like you're always like looking back at her, you know, figuratively speaking, with your hand out and kind of like taking her along to the places where she already wants to go. You already assume that knowledge and leadership, and you direct her there.
Well, you're also being sexually mature.
Yeah.
Whether you have no experience, and I know a lot of guys right now are thinking, and you know, and I know, that a guy listening to this might be 21 years old, he might be a virgin, and he's listening to this because he wants to prepare for his future, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't, I'm sexually bull. I mean, I tell you that right now. I've been doing this. I did this when I was a virgin. I did this when I was a 16, 17-year-old virgin because I learned about it. I read about it. I mean, there were some graphic books in the 70s, you know? I learned about the power of this. I learned about the emotion, the connecting to her emotions, making her feel safe and so forth. You know, you can be a virgin. You can be a guy that has no sexual experience whatsoever. And by taking control of her this way, she's going to feel so safe with you. She'll know by your performance in bed that's a little quick, and you can be honest and go, I don't have much sexual experience. She won't care about that physical thing because the physical thing can be taught because she'll show you exactly what she wants and what she needs. It's the emotional security that she feels. She wants to feel like she's with an emotionally secure man. Teaching how to move your hips the right way or teaching how to lick right instead of left, that's easy stuff, man. She'll show you those things, but she wants to feel she's with an emotionally secure, powerful guy that makes her feel protected and secure.
Definitely. Absolutely. Dave, as we wrap up this class, I want to ask you another question on this topic. There's some great examples, by the way, awesome stuff for guys to do. When, you know, what are some cases where guys should not do it or not use dirty talk, or some of the big mistakes that guys make using dirty talk?
Number one mistake that guys make is a lot of guys that try to date online. Is, you know, and then I'd say they're all number one, but this is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're emailing a woman on Match.com, you're on the third email, and all of a sudden you say something to her and go, last, and I have seen this because I coach women also. Men will go, God, the minute I saw your picture, I masturbated looking at it. You know, and you're thinking, like, that's going to turn her on. I'm having sexual fantasies about her. Guys do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another mistake guys will make is they'll text a woman after a first date and go, man, you look so hot. I just fucking fantasized about you. I just had to masturbate about you. Meanwhile, you haven't even kissed her yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys, another big mistake guys make is they think they need to dirty talk her at dinner. They're in a restaurant with her. They're having a great conversation, and they think, when can I escalate sexually? When can I tell her that I want her? When can I tell her that I think about her? When can I tell her I want to do her? When can I talk dirty in a restaurant? You know, a lot of guys think that they need to bring the subject up, that it's a subject you bring up. You know, like, all of a sudden you're out on a date, she's talking about her job. All right, I've learned about her job. I learned about her parents. Now I need to know when we're going to screw and when can I tell her I want to go, and I want to basically tell her how good I move my hips. A lot of guys become clit salesmen, you know. They basically talk about how good they are in bed. Man, I'm so good in bed. My hands are so amazing, man. Your clit's going to love me to death. Man, I'll tell you something. When I grind into women, it's like I know exactly how to grind in really tight. I can take my hands and I can put them underneath your shoulders and take my hips and grind them in, and I can get your clit in action. You know, you should just see it. Wait till you see it. I'm so good at this. And they're doing this on a date. Meanwhile, the woman is getting more and more repulsed because the guy went into clit salesman mode.
Mm.
Dirty talk, once again, as you guys heard this, is not about selling it. You don't sell dirty talk. You be dirty talk. You know dirty talk, and you also assume. This is the biggest mindset thing that I tell guys all the time. I know, and I think it's a perfect ending, too. I know that every woman I sleep with, I'm going to be the best lover they've ever been. And I have felt that way since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I will even tell them that. If I'm playing around with them, we're on a third or fourth date, and we haven't slept together yet, but there's so much tension, and I love that tension you build over 3 or 4 days. I'll sit down at dinner with them. I'll look at them. I'll give them a kiss. I'll pull back. I'll see them, their eyes twinkling. I'll look at her, and I'll go, you have no idea what you're in store for. None. I am the best you will ever have. The question is, though, can you handle it? And then I'll get up and go to the bathroom. You know, I mean, it's like, the best? Am I really the best? Is Carlos really the best? Probably not. Who cares? Who knows? It's all mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the best hip mover in the world? Are you the best pussy licker in the entire world? Are you the best finger banger in the entire world? Are you the best combo? Who knows? It doesn't matter. But immediately in that sense, she forgets about every guy she's ever slept with, and all she can think about is you.
Yeah.
That is power, guys. And that's the power that all of you deserve to have and to own, because that's what she's looking for. She's looking for that strong, powerful rock star. And I don't care if you work at McDonald's, or I don't care if you are, you know, a corporate exec. You're all powerful because you're a man.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of I have a saying that I like to use. It's the, for a woman, the best sex is the next sex. And that's really what's going on in her mind. She's building up the next event. It's not the past stuff. It's what's coming up. No, this has been a great class, David. I appreciate you being online. This is awesome stuff for guys to use and leverage. Is there anything else you wanted to share at the end to kind of wrap up the class on Dirty Talk? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, I want to share one exercise that I think everybody can do. I know I shared a couple, but I want one more for guys to do. And it's a mindset one, and it's really important, okay? I want you every single day, and you know, you're going to think to me, oh, David, that's so cheesy. God, I don't want to do that. You know what? Here's something that I know Carlos teaches, and I know that I teach too, and I know, you know, I know every program that Carlos does, and I always tell Carlos this all the time. If they just trusted and believed and did everything we said, there's no way in the world they're not going to be fantastic with women, because it's everything that we've done in our own lives to get to that point where we are with women. So this is something I want you guys to do, and you're going to be so uncomfortable over and over again, but I want you to once again take that webcam or sit in front of a mirror, and I want you to look at it, and I want you to say this: I am the best you've ever had. And I want you to say it over and over and over again. I don't care what you think sex, I don't care, and say this too, I don't care if you think you've had great sex before, you've seen nothing yet. Nothing. You're going to expose every secret to me, and I'm going to make sure that I pay attention to every detail, every desire, and everything that you need. And you're going to say that. I want you to own those words. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to say it. I want you to get comfortable. Did you have eye contact? Did your eyes go down to the ground? Did you look nervous? Did you look insecure? Because women pick up on emotion. Women pick on subliminal things and subconscious things. And I want you to say it over and over again until you can look directly in your own eyes and get it right. You should be so mentally turned on that you're going to go out there and you're going to do it on a date when the time is right. And she's going to sit there and she's going to think to herself, I'm with the best lover I've ever had. And she hasn't even kissed you more than once or twice. Perfect it, guys. Don't just spit it out on a date because it isn't going to work. Learn it, perfect it, and grow with it. And learn what you're like. Learn what a woman, see what a woman is looking at. Know what you convey in your facial expressions and your body language, and you're going to turn her on instantly.
Definitely. You got to rehearse it, guys. One of the things we've been talking about in this program throughout is the more you rehearse it now and the more you're prepared, the less things are going to phase you or throw you off when you're actually in the situation. So that's an awesome example of how you can use that little webcam on your little MacBook or your MacBook Air there and get yourself some more action in real life as well. Dave, this has been great having you on here. This is an awesome program. Do you have anything that you'd like to recommend to guys of programs of yours that they can take this deeper with?
Two. And one of them, you know, I'm going to talk about. I mean, the phone sex program is by far the greatest thing they'll ever listen to in their entire life. And I'm not just saying that because I did it. It's unreal. I mean, it's basically me flirting with a couple of women on Match. You get the IM text back and forth, getting on the phone with them and actually dirty talking them. Mm. Well, you know, one of them I think is an hour-long thing, and it ends up she masturbates like a maniac. Don't worry, guys, I'm not jerking off, okay? So you're not listening to a double-edged. You're not listening to me over the phone, okay? You're in complete control about this. I did this after a boot camp with 10 guys in the room. Another one is she doesn't do it, but you know she's going to do it, and you hear how I basically know that she's going to do it and call her the little dirty girl that she is and be in complete control, and you hear her say, I can't wait to see you tomorrow night. You listen to that whole conversation. The one that she masturbated in, which is phenomenal, is that I actually go and I run it back through my Mac, and I break it down. I spend an hour and a half pausing it, breaking it down, and telling you why I did it, how I made her feel safe, when she said a word, why I responded a certain way. I break down that phone call so you can go and do that on your own, because I know most of you will listen to it and go, David, that is so unreal. It's so amazing, but I just don't, I can't do this. So what I do is I broke it down, because like I said, I had a group of 10 guys in the room, and they looked at me and said, David, can you break this down for us? And I said, can I record it? So I broke it down as I was conducting a class. It's literally like watching Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth breaking down Monday Night Football. At the end of Monday Night Football, you know why there was a wedge right. You know why the quarterback was sacked. Well, you're going to know why her fingers were moving in a certain way and how I knew that they were moving in a certain way because it was mimicking my tongue. You're going to learn everything. Another program I think is great to go with that, which is great for Carlos's program also, is my sexual mastery program, which is really great because it teaches you so much, and I know Carlos, you know, covers this also, but it's about the mindset of sex, and it's also about technique, how every man can use very simple things on each woman, how to kiss her a certain way and why to mimic her kissing style and how to make sure you mimic her kissing style so she feels like she's kissing herself, which turns her on the most, how to get her to confess all her sexual secrets, how to give, you know, literally give her the feeling of wanting to confess those sexual secrets. It's like a four-hour program, basically, on the mindset of sex and then the physical side of sex. So those are two that I can recommend that I think would be fabulous.
Fantastic, man. I appreciate it. And, guys, you can check that stuff out through the links I'm giving you with this this particular part of the program on the page. And, again, David, thanks a lot for all the great information you gave to our guys today.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, man, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
First of all, what I want to jump into right now is touch, because you're not going to get very far with women if you can't grope, if you can't get your grope on properly. Can I have Justine come up and join me, please? Okay. So, thing is to not touch a woman creepily. Some of you that have been in the pickup artist community have gone over. You know, you don't want to like be like, yeah, like so. You're like really pretty, and yeah, that doesn't work at all. It's all about stroking and touching and just loving it sensually. Yeah, see, this is the response you get. All right, now,
sorry.
Quit pretending we've had, pretend we've never had sex before. Posture, dignity. The thing with touch is to remember the forgotten erogenous zones that you can get away with touching. And this is, I mean, she's fully clothed right now. And this is an area that it's very easy, you know, at a bar. You know, like, you know, obviously things are getting sexy. Yeah, you're supposed to pretend
I'm
it.
Sorry. resist the temptation.
I know.
Yeah, resist the temptation.
I'm very resistant. I've worked again. That's never been one of my specialties.
You know, and it's we can see what I'm doing with the back of her neck. You know, it's light finger touch. My general rule of touching women, no matter where you're touching them, is never touch them, you know, when you're stroking and trying to get a teasing sensual response, never touch them harder than you would the trackpad on your laptop. You really don't need to touch anyone harder than that, you know. This is like you'd be grabbing or clawing, you know, and that's just, it's jarring. It's all about sensual low touch. And the thing is, this is one of the most sensual parts on a woman's body. It's, you're going to get a stronger response here than you are from most parts of her body. Can you have you turn around? There's also other, I like to call them the forgotten erogenous zones. So here we have, see, she's already sliding out of her clothes. We're getting there. The inside of the elbow is an amazing place to touch someone. It's right there. Everything that I'm doing to her, you know, a man can do to a woman, because as anyone knows, I have very strong masculine energy. You know, and then you can, you know, start using your lips and your mouth and your tongue. I just want to talk about the back of someone's knee. Let me take out of your clothes. Why don't you come here? When you're taking someone out of their dress, if you can just, again, it's all about caressing the body. Everything we do is all about caressing the body. When you really want to make a woman really enjoy the sexual experience, just running your hands over her body, and in a way being like worshipful with your touch. Just slowly, sensually explore. My personal favorite is the back of the knee, because no one ever really realized how erotic this is right here. And here, I'm also running my finger along just the slightest, barest inside edge. You know, this right here on the, you know, where her outside thigh, outside back thigh meets her inner thigh. I'm very lucky that I get responsive models. And so this is, you know, just basic erogenous touch. And this, you know, women really, really respond to this. And also here, here on this body, like right here, these planes of the body right here need to be stroked and gently touched. And if you are going to use a firmer touch at this point, it's okay to grasp with your hands, you know, hold onto the hips. And this is all something that can be done, you know, while kissing, while touching, while exploring. And a lot of this stuff may seem a little basic, but, you know, basic building blocks. See, now she's ready to kiss me.
Exactly, which is something that, you know, men need to be taught about.
Yes. What are your biggest, what do you hate when people do when they kiss you?
You know, the old man wet lip thing.
Do it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, having too wet a lips just feels weird.
It's just gross. And then, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's so gross. Just literally too much spit inside your mouth, right where your tongue is. That is just simply too much. And also men who use their tongue too much on the outside of your mouth.
Yes. You're not...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not trying to napkin her face off with your tongue.
And we're also not trying to do the lesbian kiss either.
Yes.
This, my favorite tongue. Oh, we're also not trying to do the tongue sword fight.
Porno kiss. This is something that you see in porno that is a terrible idea. You should never do it. The reason girls do this in porno is so they don't mess up their lipstick. Because, you know, we're a little bit of lip gloss, and we want to look all pretty for our scene. So we're going to go in and we're going to go... That's not kissing. Please don't do that.
And also a lot of men request it, actually, from websites. So the reason that you see a lot of women doing that type of kissing is because men request it, and it's just thought of as visually pleasing. But it's not actually physically pleasing.
It doesn't feel good at all. A good kiss. I actually made notes.
I'm going to sit over here for a second.
Less tongue and a little bit of biting. As you can see, we're using mostly lips here. Just a little bit of tongue. Now, see, if I want to get passionate, amp it up, maybe then I'd use a little bit more tongue and a little bit of a bite.
Bite harder.
But don't bite harder unless she asks for it. That's a big thing. Also, using your tongue as a teasing mechanism is really important. Most people... I've been tongue-bathed by so many men who are like, oh, I hear it's really delicious to lick the back of your neck, and then I'm gonna slobber on you.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's more
you
about...
You show them.
Ugh! Do not do that to someone.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiss.
I wouldn't say not... Yeah, that's happened to me many times, and every single time I'm like... That's the face I make. A woman to make a face. When you're using your tongue, it's all about pointy tongue. And it's not about a lot of saliva on the tongue. It's about keeping your a little bit moist, but not super moist. It's a pointy tongue. And the thing is that if I'm doing like a long lick, can you lay back, please?
Yes.
If I'm doing a long lick, I don't re-wet my tongue halfway through the length of my lick. So I go... Thank you, Justine.
Thank you.
So now we're going to talk about basic fingering technique.
Sit down. Spread my legs.
Yes. Actually, no. basic fingering technique. I was trying to think of a really great way for people to find the clitoris. The easiest way, I think, to find the clitoris is to rub the whole vulva. You know, slide your whole hand down the entire front of the vulva. And then take your middle finger, Wait till you find that slightly moister depression that is the vagina. You know, you're like, okay, so I found the pussy, and I'm going to slide my hand up until I feel that where the skin meets and there's a slight little bud. And that there is a clitoris. And when rubbing the clitoris is, like I said, you never want to rub harder than you touch your computer's trackpad, ever. That's as hard as it ever needs to be. Just gently rub it, you know, up and down and in slow circles. I find a lot of women use slow circles when they masturbate themselves.
Yes, I use slow small circles when I masturbate because it feels better. I like to squish my clitoris a little bit of pressure. But
not too much.
No, because if there's too much, like you can, there are ways to also grab the pussy without, and the clit to make it swell and engorge more, but you have to be very, very careful. And you also need to use the heel of your hand as opposed to your fingertips. The
Maybe
heel of your hand
she
is a little
can
bit more
give us
pressure.
A better demonstration.
Oh, yes, I would like that. What?
And slowly take off the dress. Removing the clothes should be a caress. All right. Justine could demonstrate on the lovely jade, which she is speaking of.
Yes, I give you this moment. So you can bring your hand all the way down so she can feel everything from, you know, from you grabbing her boobs all the way down her beautiful stomach until you get down to her pussy. And then you just take your hand and just gently push in. You don't want to push too hard. And then use the heel of your hand to push up and grasp. It's like a little, just doing this, literally just doing this motion, but you're putting just enough pressure in here to grab the clit and the entire pussy. That way, when you decide to come in just about 3 seconds, because after you do this for about 30 seconds, the clit will become very engorged and you won't be able to miss your clitoris at all. And then on top of all that, you can do something else that just drives women crazy and they really don't know why, but it also helps the blood flow. And I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's pretty much why you enjoy it, is because you will hold the pussy open just slightly, but you want to make sure to grab the skin. I can actually show you here. And you want to do this.
Can you get
so
that?
So you can actually open up the opening of the pussy and work with her muscles so that when she starts contracting and pulling in, as if your cock were there, you pull against that. When she closes down, you pull against, you pull open, and when she unclamps, then you push in. So it's constantly rolling back and forth like this. Mm-hmm. So that you're pulling open, working with her muscles, so you turn her on so much that she's literally got a pull underneath.
Do you want to come behind her and show this that way? So they can get a very strong visual of what she's doing?
Yes.
All right.
I've seen this in action, and
do you want to pull
lots
you?
Of girls get off, and Justine is the greatest girl.
She is. I learn everything that I know from Justine.
I've watched girls come in about 2 seconds, like maybe 2 minutes, and create puddles.
Well, and I just don't give up either. Once I figure out
what
it is, you enjoy, I want to make sure I keep doing it. So when you're doing this, you have to make sure that you listen to your partner's breathing, not only their breathing, but the moans. When the breathing gets faster and shorter, you're turning her on. The moans become more quick as well. And she also starts thrusting her hips or maybe digging her hands into the bed or wherever you're having sex. Just pay attention to the small things. That's how you know when you're doing it right. But this motion is what you want to do. And basically that butterfly thing that you guys did when you were kids to make a butterfly in the shadows, that's what you're doing right here.
That's Justine's patented move. Absolutely. How are you feeling right now, Jade?
Really good.
What I want to talk about next is internal finger play. One of the things that drives me crazy when someone pokes at my vagina with their forefinger. Yeah. Please don't poke at my vagina. It is to be loved, not poked at. Do not prod it like it is a dead animal on the side of the road. It's a pussycat, not a possum.
That's awesome.
There's a reason that this is the FU finger. This is the finger that you want to put inside Spillman's vagina. Make sure that you moisten it first, like whether it's with spit or with lube. I mean, her not being super wet might just be the fact that you guys went drinking last night or you guys drank a lot tonight. There's a lot, you know, Sudafed.
Like allergy medications like Sudafed or Benadryl tend to make you very dry.
Yes.
Just being dehydrated can make her less than responsive in terms of moistness. So it's not you all the time. Don't worry about it.
That's what they make lube for.
Yes. Yes, that is why we have lube. Lube is your friend. This is the fuck you finger. Moisten it with your saliva or with her saliva. She's feeling very sensual. Mm-hmm. And then insert that finger and then slowly, don't necessarily try to find the G-spot because I find the curling motion that
digging.
They teach it, it's very digging. You can also scrape someone with your fingernail. And if someone is not used to a lot of G-spot stimulation, it's just gonna make them feel like they have to go pee. And then they might just like pop up from a very sensual moment and be like, okay, I gotta go pee now. Totally is gonna kill the moment. Instead, you just wanna apply like steady pressure upwards on that upper wall and slide your finger up against that wall. At that point, you know, if that's feeling really good, you know, maybe you still wanna be, you know, you wanna eat pussy at that point. Point, second finger. Always use these middle fingers from there. And it's all about that upward pressure on the G-spot. If you guys don't know where the G-spot is, there's the clit side and there's the butthole side of the vagina. It's on the clit side.
The front wall.
It also depends upon the girl too, because some girls could have more than one G-spot. I have two. So
that's crazy.
It's awesome.
Tell me about where your G-spots are.
My G-spot, the first one is on the inside opening to the top of, so if you look at the cervix like a clock, it's at 12 right on the inside, 2.5 inches in. Mm. My other one is at between 6 and 7 at the very back of my cervix, right off to the left.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have a tilted cervix?
Yes, I do. And that's actually the one that I prefer to come with is my back G-spot. The front one's super easy. 3 seconds and I'm done. And I'm like, all right, cool, get off me. But if you can achieve to get to the back one, yeah, boy, you got some skills.
We all want to talk about fisting at this point because not a lot of women, not a lot of women are natural squirters. And it's very cool to try to get to a woman to have, like, get her very close to a near squirting or a very extreme orgasmic experience. And one of the techniques that I find works really well is to keep putting more and more fingers in her vagina. A woman that doesn't know that she can squirt, the way that you can get her to that point or to get her to actually, is generally lots of finger stuffing. That's usually the best way to do it. So Justine is the expert at putting...
I kind of need you, Jade. I'm gonna need your beautiful crotch and your legs spread.
Okay.
That was more for just me. actually, with fisting, remember when you said if you put too much pressure, if you do the come here thing too much on the inside, if you really want to make a girl squirt, please at least tell her you would like her to beforehand. That way, it's not such a shock and a surprise when you do. And the other thing is, do that come here thing. But you need to make sure that pressure with your partner is okay. And then you also want to push down just above the pubic bone because that's actually where it's where your bladder is. And it's not necessarily that she's peeing on you, but that's in order to get her to squirt, to female ejaculate, you have to put pressure on the bladder. Otherwise, it won't happen.
And if she hasn't peed beforehand, you will get a little urine on your chest, but...
It's the same thing as if a dude were to come on you, you get blood and urine, all kinds of crazy shit in there.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you don't want someone to, if you don't want someone to have a really extreme orgasm, you know, don't.
Please don't.
If you're scared of bodily fluids, this probably is not the course for you.
No.
Really amazing sex is probably not going to happen in your life if you're afraid of bodily fluids. It's just the way it is.
And then the other key thing is communication and lube. Tons and tons of lube. If you think you've got enough, just for extra measure, pour in another half an ounce.
Half an ounce? What kind of lube are you using?
I use coconut oil or olive oil because they both are neutral acids and my body is highly acidic. So,
you're a special case when it comes to lube.
Exactly.
Don't listen to her free lube advice. Silicone-based lube. Listen to her.
No, actually.
Silicone or water-based.
Silicone-based lube I prefer because
it stays wet longer.
It's an inert substance, so your body doesn't absorb it. With water-based lube, your body starts to absorb it. It starts to ball up, and it gets sticky. And it has that weird, sweet, kind of sweet glycerin
artificially
taste.
Sweet taste. It's not... And all the little lumps it forms, it's not attractive. Use, like, a silicone-based lube. Because it stays nice and smooth and wet.
Yeah, they just developed silicone-based lube when they were coming up with lube for, I think, parts for the space program?
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
It comes from an industrial background. Anyway.
That's kind of awesome. But yeah, I personally can't use a lot of lubes. I'm allergic to pretty much any lube out there. So for me, it's a completely different story. But yes, do not listen to my advice. Always use latex or, silicone or...
water-based lube.
Or water-based lube.
They are latex friendly. The lubes that she is not using are not latex friendly and only work if you're in a serious, you know, in a...
I'm in a monogamous, I'm in a committed monogamous relationship. So I can actually, I don't use condoms in my relationship. And the other thing is also to make sure that you have gloves at all times because you have no idea what's going on with your fingers. You may have just gotten a manicure. You may have just gotten your hands done. It doesn't matter. Even if you did just get a manicure, you've got bacteria and all kinds of crazy shit from the nail salon underneath your nails. So you really can't risk giving your partner an infection of any kind. So you always want to use gloves. And also your fingernails may not be as smooth for the inner vaginal wall as you would like it to be. So it may feel fine to you. You may be able to scratch your leg and not actually tear yourself up. But once you get inside.
Yeah. And if you can't have latex gloves because you are having sex like in a club bathroom or in the backseat of a car or something, regularly wash your hands. It's really disrespectful to a partner to be like, go out for hot wings and then just like wipe your hands off on a paper towel and then expect to put your fingers inside her. Or be out at a dirty club and touching things and then put your fingers inside. What you're going to give someone is a yeast infection. Their pussy's going to be out of order for a week, which means no more Nookie for you. And if they do decide to have sex with you again, they're always going to have that in the back of their mind that, hey, that guy fucked up my pussy.
Exactly. And we're generally 9 times out of 10 not going to have sex with you ever again.
Yeah. It's a really disrespectful thing to do to not have clean hands coming into sex. And a lot of people don't realize like how sensitive the ecosystem below our belts is. Women... Guys, it's pretty straightforward, you know, when it comes to cleanliness. Women, it's a balanced ecosystem in that, you know, there's so much going on down there. There's so many different cultures. I mean, I'm tempted to...
healthy bacteria and...
She has an undergrad in biochemistry, so this is why I'm referring to her.
A lot of times you could have an overgrowth of candida, which leads to a yeast infection. Yeast is not bacteria. It is in the family of fungus, and when... I mean, a woman with a diet that's too high in carbohydrates, like simple carbohydrates and sugar, refined sugars, tends to have this issue. But getting things that don't belong in there, like, let's
dirty
say,
fingers.
Dirty fingers, like, say, you drank beer, you spilled it on your hands, and now you're introducing the yeast from the beer into her vagina. Not appreciated. Please scrub your hands well. 2 minutes, hot, soapy water.
Yes.
Or use gloves. Preferably wash your hands and use gloves.
Let's talk about the sexy part of fisting.
Yes.
The sexy part of fisting. Moving on.
That's what I was getting at is luck also favors the prepared. So say you happen to be in a nightclub and you do get a chance to fist a girl. Guess what? You've got a condom in your back pocket. You don't even have to wash your hands now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the condom should be able to at least stretch over your hand. So that's another way to, you know, hey, you're prepared. You've already got what you need and a condom will do just fine. Getting back to the sexy part of fisting, which is obviously she's going to lay back. You guys have been making out for quite a while now because
she's
very lubed up. You want the pussy definitely engorged. It must be completely full of blood. Like it must be so swollen and so just sensitive. You could literally just blow on her and she may have an orgasm. That's where you want her to be. Because once she is that relaxed and that horny and that ready, so that's going to take about a half an hour, guys, just so you know. The
half
average
an hour
woman.
Of heavy petting.
Yeah.
I'm half an hour of heavy petting.
Exactly. Like dry hump city. You should do it for at least a half an hour. It takes 20 minutes for a woman's mind to become enough engaged to actually connect with her pussy. So at that point, you've got 20 minutes up until that point, and then 10 minutes after that, it's all downhill. You're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Once she's in that space and begging for it, you're going to start. Ryan prefers these two fingers. I'm right-handed, and I also have the perfect size hands for fisting.
She does.
I use this finger because I'm. For me, it makes more sense. I know these two fingers well enough that I can tell when she's enjoying herself, meaning when her pussy clamps down, that means she's trying to pull my fingers in. That's a good sign that I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. If I keep pushing on the lower portion of her wall, I use slow circular motion, so what I would do is I would enter from down here and I would slowly use circular motions. I would also use that pulling motion. One hand will be pulling while the other hand is making the circular motion, pushing down into her pussy. So then I'm opening up her vagina so I can then, once I get this finger in, because I'll start with just one, slide it all the way in, make sure I get it into the right spot. then I'll pull back up gently, slide both in, and I keep doing each finger slowly for at least a minute and a half to 3 minutes each finger until she slowly opens up until I can get my entire fist into her. When you fist a woman, you don't go in like this. This is punching somebody. This will hurt a girl. It can't be done.
And even before you get into the fisting, what's really fun is this four-finger motion where you're in there like this. And here you can also do things like rotate. You can rotate, and that feels really delicious on the inside of the pussy. You know, in and out, and in and out, and slowly rotating, and slowly rotating. And at some point, eventually, what will happen...
But do you see also how she's going through, and my pussy, or my hand, is acting like a pussy when it's tightening down?
Yeah. It tightens, you know, and it keeps clamping down. And eventually, what's going to happen...
Eventually, what's going to happen is the pussy, once you get into here, once you get into this motion, because you always have to keep it in a beak, too. You have to keep your fingers all tight together, like this. Once you get to here, once you have all four fingers past your knuckles, the pussy will then clamp down.
Mm-hmm. And your hand will be stuck.
Your hand will be here. At that point, your fingers were here. You will feel the pussy pull your hand in. Once you do, the first thing that you need to do is go from here to this.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. You will have about 3 seconds, and most women's pussies will actually force your hand in this position. You won't be able to hold this. It will automatically pull your hand in, and when it does, you want to scoop your fingers back so there's no nails. Tuck your thumb in. You use your thumb to get to the G spot, and then you rock your hand around in a circle. You don't go back and forth unless she likes that motion. Me personally, you start pulling your fist in and out of my pussy. I'm not happy.
No, that's
it. Doesn't feel
very
good.
Painful.
But if you do this with me. Mm-hmm. I am super thrilled. I'll probably come 5 or 6 times, and I will squirt. I mm-hmm. most assuredly will, because I'm full. There's just no other way around it, and most women will. Mm-hmm. So, you definitely want to spend the time rocking like this. You never ever want to pull out. You always want to rock back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
What is this motion?
Circular?
Well, no. I think there's like an actual name for it. I can't
clockwise,
think of it.
Counter-clockwise?
Yeah, always go clockwise, and then counterclockwise if. Clockwise doesn't work. And then when she's had her orgasms and her pussy's just about to take your hand off because it's clamping down so hard.
It's going to hurt. It's a tight sensation.
Yeah, it's definitely one you will never forget.
Yes.
And sometimes, depending upon the woman, it's a little painful because she's tiny.
Yeah.
Eventually, when she does calm down enough, you will have to have her take several deep breaths so that you can gently work your fingers back until they're in this position. And then pull them out one by one. You can't just...
No.
That's like, you know, pulling out a...
It's like reverse punching someone.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
It is reverse punching someone in the gut. Like,
it's like, ow. But yeah, you gently work it out. And then, you know, obviously she's totally open and ready for pretty much anything at that point. If she Absolutely. Hasn't completely been done with you and is just exhausted.
Yeah, if she hasn't had an emotional, crying, squirting orgasm. I mean, women can have a lot of orgasms, but there's many different levels of orgasm. And one of the great things, the reason why people really go for the squirting orgasm is that it tends to be a very deep emotional release, because, not to get all like tantra and hippy-dippy on you, but it does stimulate the root chakra, which is where a lot of us store a lot of our emotional bullshit. And once you get, you know, anal orgasms and G-spot orgasms are really amazing for, like, loosening up that energy and having a release that's not just, like, a physical orgasm, but one that feels freeing, you know. Just let so much out, and it feels so good. And it's so much more powerful than any other, you know, orgasms are powerful. Like, imagine an orgasm times, I don't know, like, 10, 12, something like that.
Can you really quantify this?
I don't know if I can quantify it.
I've
got a physicist in the room. Maybe he can come up with a equation for that. So that's a basic way to fist someone, and that's obviously something that takes a little while to work up to. But what I really want to talk about, the importance of learning how to be good with your fingers, is that if you're having a time where you've already come and you haven't satisfied your woman and you need to give her a really amazing experience. Like, if you fuck someone and you've come too quickly, like, just going down on her is not going to be enough. She's going to want to feel proper fucked. And this is why this technique is a really amazing thing to do at that time. And even if you don't get all the way up to fisting, because that it's a trust exercise. It takes time to work on.
Yeah.
But the thing is just using the two fingers, you know, simple two finger, you know, slide and back and forth. And then, you know, 3 fingers and then 4 fingers. Just this. Just using, you know, this technique is a great way to make her feel fucked when you can't fuck her, whether you've already come too fast or your dick isn't working, or whatever reason there is that you don't want to take your pants off, you know, your wife will let you have affairs as long as there's no, like, penis, vagina intercourse involved. Whatever the situation is, learning to be good with your fingers is a great way to maximize any potential sexuality, because, you know, what base is that? I gotta ask. Is fingering third base? Third base is fingers. Yeah, it's maximizing third base.
Nice. Okay.
So let's move on to oral sex.
All right.
My favorite. Actually, that's a lie. I like it all. I couldn't pick favorite. Oral sex. I use the same oral technique on you pretty much every time we have sex, I'd say.
Maybe.
Pretty much the same technique. And it tends to generally, you tend to have a strong response to it, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we wouldn't be doing it. I'm like, if it wasn't awesome, yeah, I wouldn't be.
Yes. I have a very simple oral technique that I use 90% of the time with 90% of women because it works. I am all about, you know, I firmly believe in keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, the simplest point way from point A to point B is frequently the best. Not always, but frequently. And I came up with this oral technique that basically all it involves is finding the clitoris, which, as we've discussed before, you use the same thing with your fingers, except you use your tongue. And I have an advantage here because I happen to have a long, pokey, dexterous tongue. But this also works if you have a flatter, rounder tongue that doesn't poke so much. I'm going to move that over there just a little bit. The way that I do it is I stick my tongue out and I find the clit. And I just flick back and forth on the clit. That's it. You know, I don't spell the alphabet. There's no reason to spell. I don't know where this came from. Don't spell the alphabet, seriously. If you're, like, trying to think, and how can you, like, spell the alphabet, give me head, and keep your dick hard at the same time? Like, there's too much going on. Like, yeah, it's like walking, chewing gum, and, like.
I'm like, well, it's a blood flow thing. Once that little head gets full.
Yes. Yes, exactly. What you do is I just flick it back and forth on the edge of the clit, and I don't try to go just in circles or just up and down or just back and forth. My whole thing is that I flick up and, you know, across the clitoris. And the thing is that it's the same, I try to keep this, maintain speed and maintain pressure. Mm-hmm. I don't mix up with pressure and I don't mix up with speed. The actual motion that my tongue takes will vary just because your tongue can't maintain this. It's not designed, the way the muscle works is not designed for a continuous one motion long range thing. So, and the most important thing about oral sex is when you go downtown, you have to set up camp. There's nothing worse than someone going down there for, like, and making it very clear from the beginning that they're only going to spend like a minute or 2 minutes down there. For a woman to really enjoy oral sex, expect to spend 10 minutes down there at least. Like, just set up camp.
Well, okay, I agree with her saying set up camp, but if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. If you're not into going down on your partner, whether you're male or female, please simply do not do it. Your body language, your mouth, everything will throw off the experience. No one's going to have a good time, and everybody's going to go home crying.
Yes, she's absolutely right. That's
just don't do it. So if you're not into going down on a woman, just simply tell her beforehand, hey, as much as I would love to give you oral pleasure, really not into it. And if you had said that to me, I'd be like, awesome, thank you so much for being honest with me, because if I would have put you down in my crotch, I'd probably kick you out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then she's upset and you're upset and yeah, everyone's upset.
Everyone's ego's bruised and it does not end well.
If you're really, truly not into something in the bedroom, being clear about that with your partner doesn't reflect badly on you. And anything, it makes you look better and look stronger and look like you know yourself and you're confident in yourself and who you are. More than anything.
I agree.
Absolutely. So when you go down there, you know, if you enjoy it, you know, there's things that we believe in, safe, sane, and consensual. Yes. Big fan of those. When you go downtown, stay down there. And be willing to stay down there as long as it takes, because a lot of women, you know, Justine and I are very lucky in the fact that we have hair triggers. It's not particularly hard to make us come.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it does not take us a long time to get from point A to point B. Most women are not like that. Most of the women that I've been with, it takes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes usually. I mean, in ideal circumstances, it takes a woman 6 minutes to go from zero to orgasm. That's ideal. That goes from, like, no arousal, like, on a train to, like, you know, having an orgasm. I'm trying to think of an unsexy place.
Oh, well, I was like, I thought it was 20 minutes, actually, to get the mind engaged with your body enough that you would actually get turned on.
Depends on which study, I suppose.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta compare notes.
We gotta compare notes, yeah. Anyway, but under, I think it's from, you know, you're right, it's from original direct stimulation to orgasm. It takes the average woman about 6 minutes.
Fair enough, okay.
From direct stimulation to orgasm. So under ideal circumstances, you're looking at least 6 minutes. So you need to understand that you're going to be down there for a while and your jaw is going to hurt. And the thing is that you just have to keep flicking that tongue over that clitoris. And then if you can, gentle suction around the clitoris.
No, not my finger, sorry. I scratched my leg earlier. Got makeup on it.
A gentle suction motion while maintaining the tongue flicking. I think that that is the simplest, most direct clitoral.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's simple. It's really simple. I mean, there's a million other techniques that you can throw in there. Justine's, if you can do suck on the clit like that while doing Justine's pussy massage, she's going to come all over your face very quickly. She's going
That's
to.
Less than 6 minutes, guys. Trust me. 3.5. 3.5.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Amazing. So those two techniques together are really amazing. What would you guys like? You know, I'm very boring when it comes to my oral sex technique because my one technique works. You know, occasionally I'll throw a finger in there or I'll throw a pussy massage in there. And that's really all I've ever had to learn how to do because it works so consistently. I'd like to see what you guys' input on either giving or receiving head.
I actually have a short tongue. And it's round. It's not pointy. I swear, I have the shortest tongue on earth. So for me, I cannot make that pointy shape. So what I tend to do is I tend to tease the clit with my lips. I have nice full lips. And I tease with my lips and my tongue. And my lips are usually moist when I do that. So you can't tell whether it's my lips or my tongue.
I think that's a way
just
to...
just naughty.
Yeah, I'm like...
I'm like, watching your lips move, I'm like, yeah.
So, I mean, I have a short tongue, so I use my very full lips to make up for it.
This is one way to do it. And also with a short round tongue, still flicking, you know, flicking the tongue across the clitoris is the most important thing. It's just keeping that stimulation.
I should stop flicking my tongue.
On the button of my clit. And Justine, would you like to add something before Justine? Jade makes me not be able, yeah, I can't think straight.
I know, neither one of us. It really depends upon my partner. Generally, if I'm with a woman who is not a porn star, who happens to be just, you know, one of...
as we call them, civilians.
Yes, civvies. Then I would generally tend to keep my tongue flat and long and just let her fuck herself on me. That's a lot easier for her to grind her hips on my mouth or on my face, because I can also use my nose. It's a little
demonstrate
bit longer.
Flat and long. Ah.
So if she was sitting on your face, that's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And that way she can rub as much as she wants or as little. She can keep the pressure. I mean, I will always keep the pressure consistent, but then she can also communicate with me by grinding her hips or by even telling me, that's great. Try a little bit of, you know, tongue flicking. If I'm with a partner who has experienced women before or has had relationships with women, for me that's a little bit easier because then I know I can pretty much let the bull dyke go. And
yeah.
For me that's like, I'm, you know, in my head I'm pretty much a dude with the dildo and I love that. And I get to have free reign and I love to pull out the no holds barred, you know, massaging and the finger, what she was discussing with is, you know, just enough suction. But with enough tongue and that pulling apart, literally 3 minutes and she's gone. Because I've had women tell me before, oh, I've never had an orgasm on film. I'm like, that's not after today. You will never say that again after today.
Things you see in porn that are good ideas and things you see in porn that are bad ideas. All right, let's see.
I've been waiting for you to get to this part, man. This is my favorite part.
This is my favorite part. There are a lot of things that you see in porn that don't make sense in real life. Because if I'm having sex with you in porno and we're having missionary sex,
gonna do the up and over. Or here, you lay down, let me do the up and over. I'm going to explain.
No. You can do the up and over. All right, I'm gonna be the girl for this portion. Explain the up and over.
The up and over, every man can do it, and it's only men that generally do, but it's, oh, sorry. It's only men that generally do this, and it's only done in porn with women because we need to see the shot.
Yeah, there's
so the
no
only
reason
is,
to do this in real life.
Right, the only reason
but
this is done
do.
In... yeah, in pornography is because the cameraman needs to get the shot. So it doesn't matter if she's having a good time or not, he needs a shot. So this is what it would look like. Now, mind you, I also have to drop down significantly to get to Ryan on this particular surface because I'm wearing heels. And yes, generally I would be wearing heels in the scene too. But yeah, this is literally the up and over. And then I would have to maintain this for at least 15 minutes until we cut to the next position?
Maybe seven or ten.
That's if they have two cameras.
Oh yeah, if they have two cameras, yeah. If not, it's 15
minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes and then three more positions of this. This is why you see people in porn do crazy things and why their bodies are insane. So that is the up and over. Also, would someone mind getting into doggy, a closed leg doggy for me?
Yeah.
This is also something that you'll see in porn that is absurd. Same concept. You're doing this so the camera can get in there. This does not feel good.
I have lower back problems, and if a guy ever did that to me, I'm just like, stop now before I have two herniated discs. If someone did that to me, I'd probably fall face forward into the bed, and I would not get off on that.
Yeah. But you see it in porn all the time, and one of my favorite things, I recently started sleeping with younger men, and I find myself in a position like this, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'm like, oh, they've been watching way too much porno.
And they think women really like this position.
Yes.
It looks good on camera,
it
guys.
It looks great on camera. It does not work. Can you do standing side mish?
Yeah, hang on. Do you want to put your leg around me, though? Because you're a little bit
Someone can come over and help me. I'm on a stable base.
Okay.
I need this leg up.
All right.
This is also something you see in porn. And they do this a lot in shower scenes.
This is super dangerous in a shower, guys.
Don't do this.
Most people are not this flexible or strong enough to hold
this. Or have a big enough dick to get penetration, you know, even like this.
What are we, 6 inches apart right now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Not a good idea, and it's not going to make your penis feel good. So those are some of them in DP.
Pile driver,
okay.
Do you guys know what pile driver is, actually?
No. Okay.
All right.
Just... I do the humping.
Yeah. This gentleman is pile driver.
So in order for me to penetrate her from this position, I have to come up and I have to come down. And I am having sex with her like this. And the thing is about this is that because of the way her pussy is that if my cock comes out at all, her pussy's going to suck in a lot of air. And we're in Queeftown. Queeftown, USA.
Yes, Queeftown, USA. Which, by the way, again, going back to the bodily fluids, if you are not comfortable... with bodily fluids, this position is not good for you at all.
Yeah, it's also, if you're not a professional or if you don't do a lot of yoga, it's hard to be up on your shoulders and neck. You're basically doing like a half shoulder stand.
Yeah.
What?
It's Halasana, plow pose.
Oh, okay. Plow pose, yes.
But I find that most men cannot hold that position or do a squat while thrusting forward for more than maybe 10 thrusts. I mean, any of you guys could stand up and try it, and I don't think it would really work for most.
No, you
probably wouldn't remain hard or be able to maintain more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably, taking your cock, pushing it down, and then kind of doing an extended squat.
Sorry.
Yeah. So those are examples of many things that you see in porn that are not a good idea. Also, spitting. Someone spit on me like a week and a half ago, and I'm pissed about it. Having a great time in the bedroom, like, oh yeah, fuck, this is awesome, and you're a dirty whore and you like it. I'm like, excuse me, what happened? Yeah, saw spitting in porn, thought it'd be really fun to bust out on someone. Just out of nowhere, yeah, we were having rough, dirty sex.
Really dirty, filthy whore, honestly.
Spit on me and called me a dirty, filthy whore, and I was like, we're done here.
And you
thanks,
didn't?
Thanks, but no thanks, I'm out.
Really? Wow, okay. Number one thing, definitely about name calling or degradation of any
type,
whether it be mental, physical, or verbal, must have the consent of the other person before you do it. Don't call a girl a filthy whore unless you know she really gets off on it.
Yeah, unless she's like, call me
prime
a dirty, filthy
right
whore.
Here.
Then you can call her a dirty, filthy whore. Spit on me because I'm a dirty, filthy whore. Then you can spit on her or call her. Don't
but
spit on...
harder and spit on me because I'm a filthy bitch.
Yeah, then you can, but do never bust it out. It seems like common sense, and I thought it was common sense about a week and a half ago. Livid. Still livid about it. Do you see the anger in the face? Yeah.
You get
not
to
happy.
Eviscerate him in film forever. You just did. Isn't that a better payback?
I feel so much better. Also, facials. The same thing with facials. If she's not asking for cum on her face, don't fucking just bust out and cum on someone's face. It's really disrespectful.
Or on their tits, for that matter. I would not pull your cock out and blow your load on her chest or on her face without prior permission.
The only time it's accessible, I think the belly is okay.
Yeah, the belly's fine.
Belly's neutral. It's like Switzerland.
But if you miss the breast and you land it on her face without her permission, that's
yeah, coming on someone's tits or coming on someone's face without the permission is incredibly disrespectful unless they're asking for it. But you see it happen in porn all the time, and people just go for it. Another thing that you see happen in
and
porn
also,
all the time.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, is pussy to ass and then ass to pussy. You Whoa. Never go ass to pussy. You never, you know.
There are exceptions. You can go pussy to ass when you take off the condom.
No, I'm saying you can go pussy to ass. You can't go ass to pussy.
If you take off the condom.
You still want to swab down because it's still around the base. I mean, yes, you technically could, but you're...
Yes, you technically could if you're that type of filthy.
This one right here.
Can we guess what type of filthy I might be? Because I was looking at the other thing with the
If you are going to go ass to pussy, yeah, please remove your condom. Please go wash your junk off first because you will give someone a nasty infection. Same thing with fingers. If a finger goes in someone's butt, it does not go anywhere else. It becomes the butt finger, and it does not go anywhere except for the butt.
Or the soapy, or soap and water in the sink.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Be very careful about that. See that in porn, you also see things like ass to mouth.
But there's a reason for that, though, right?
There is a reason for that. Adult performers, before they do any anal scene, what you don't see is on camera that they clean themselves out first. They have, like, they probably don't eat for about, usually about 6 hours or so, at least.
A lot of girls, I know, 12.
12.
But yeah.
Yeah, six. 12. They don't eat for 6 to 12 hours. They have an enema, multiple enemas. You know, they flush their, you know, probably take those, like, Fleet enemas, dump out the saline fluid, and fill them up with warm water, and do a warm water enema probably about 4 or 5 times. Usually about that, sometimes more, sometimes
You're
less.
You're looking at about a gallon of water being used?
Use about a gallon of water to flush out their rectal region. And then they lube up their ass. And then before they even put a cock in there, they get a butt plug, you know, whatever size they're comfortable with. And they walk around with a butt plug in their ass for about anywhere from 20 minutes to I've seen girls carry it for up to an hour, yeah, to an hour to loosen up their ass. And sometimes we'll use graduated butt plugs to get their ass ready to go from direct... vaginal to ass, because normally when you're going in someone's ass, it takes a long time to warm them up and a long time to get that area ready for play. And that all that happens, it all happens off camera. So even if you are having a great time with someone, you don't want to just like lube up your dick and shove in her ass. But you know, at least you use lube. So that was
I was about to say, if you use lube, awesome for you. Bad idea to just shove it in.
Yeah, there might be a bear in the cave.
That's horrible. That's brilliant, but oh
I am
my gosh.
So putting that on Twitter.
Things about porno sex that are good. I'm asking you. Don't
oh, really?
Me
oh, yeah. Okay. I was just watching your beautiful lips move. I'm sorry. I got lost there for a moment. Distracted by beauty. Good things in porn. I get to look at my partner, whoever that may be for the day, and I can ask, is spitting, choking, smacking, spanking okay? Is it all right if I fist you? Are you into having an orgasm on camera? I get to ask the whole variety of questions that you would normally spend 5 dates trying to figure out.
Yes. That's the amazing thing about working, is that you get to have this dialogue before anything goes down in the bedroom, like, what are you cool with? You know, what are your do's and don'ts? You know, what is a red flag for you? What is, like, a complete go-ahead? What is going to make you like it more?
What's your safe word? Do you like to be, you know, are you submissive? Are you masochistic?
Are you dominant?
Yeah. Are you into being called a filthy slut while I dance around in a chicken suit? Who knows what you're into? But at least I get to ask you, and I don't have to take you out on a date, and we both get to have a great time, and then I get to go home.
Yes.
Well, also, a lot of performers don't, I mean, obviously, if they're a performer, they don't have these hang-ups. Like, some women just don't want to talk about what turns them on,
yes.
What turns them off, or maybe they don't know. So.
It's a lot of times people just don't know what turns them on. Like, they have no idea, like, what they could be into. And that's why it's all about gently introducing things to people, you know, slowly working up to their comfort level, you know. You start from here, you know, which is a general turn-on for 90% of the population, you know. After a few really solid sexual, you know, experiences, maybe you can talk about spanking, you know, or adding something like spanking.
Or maybe possibly a teeny butt plug. And don't call it a butt plug. Call it an anal fun toy. Who knows what you may call it. Or come up with a nickname for it. But if you are interested in going that direction, or if she has mentioned that she's interested in going that direction, be like, Hey, we've had fun over the last couple of months, but you mentioned anal, and guess what? I went out and bought this really awesome new toy. Would you like to try it?
I think that works better for me, though.
I'm ready for sex with Jaya. How about you, D-Love?
I'm ready for sex with Jaya and some friends.
And some friends. If you haven't guessed, today we're talking about a very hot topic in the media, open relationships. We are contacted all the time from people who want to interview us about how we work our relationship. What a lot of people out there are interested in are all the many different types of open relationships and forms of non-monogamy, like swinging, polyamory. I know polygamy is big in the news. Polyfidelity, and of course, most all of these are labels.
Polyandry,
yeah, that's where one woman has two guys. That's kind of like my situation right now.
Currently, we got to rectify that.
Yeah, we do have to fix that.
Yeah.
Although there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's where we're at right now, and D-Love's wanting some more girl action.
I am. Open up the family.
So, like D-Love and I, we make up our own rules. So most people don't really get into the labels. You know, they want to make up their own rules and agreements. Yes, D-Love, we're out. I'm outing us. We are, I guess the label would be polyamorous, although we're kind of polyfidelitous, polyandrous right now. It varies.
Yeah, it's flexible.
It's very flexible. So here's the gist of our story very quickly. I was in relationship with John, who's the co-author of my book and DVD series Red Hot Touch, and John and I were in a relationship for almost 8 years now. Yeah, oh my goodness, it's going on 8 years next month. And we had an open relationship from the very beginning. So I've always kind of been this way. And then I met D-Love about 2 years ago. And we have a baby together, and all three of us live together in a happy house with a happy family, and we don't have very much drama going on. It's very easy and harmonious, wouldn't you say, D-Love?
I would say very little drama.
And yesterday I was on Playboy Radio, and they're very fascinated by all this and how it works, and they're always asking John about it. And John was talk so nice about you, D-Love, and they're always like, oh, my gosh, how can he talk so nice about the other guy in your life? He was saying how you're healing, you're very healing when you dance.
Mm. Healing who?
Helping heal other women.
Oh, well, that's good advertising to get out there.
Yeah.
good,
so the rest is all history, but go ahead, D-Love.
That's what?
I was saying it's all kind of history now.
What is?
Well, you know, the rest is history. Like, I met John,
then I met you,
and the rest is history.
I get it. Right.
No, I'm subtly telling you I'm breaking up with you. I'm leaving you. I'm going to go be monogamous now.
Ooh, how boring. Have fun.
Anyway, I also was reading a very interesting article today, speaking of the media, in Sexist Magazine, my new favorite place to read articles about sex, sexismagazine.com. They interviewed one of my favorite authors. Whenever I have so many people come to me for coaching on this, they always say, you know, what books are good to read. And this is one of the books I recommend a lot, which is Opening Up by Tristan Tiramino. I love her book because it has a lot of great information just to ask yourself, you know, if this is a really good lifestyle for you. And they interviewed her, so this is part four of her interview. And in it, she discusses non-monogamy and the benefits, even to monogamous couples, just learning some of the negotiating skills that we have to have when we're in, you know, these types of relationships. It really does take an evolved, I would say, communication level and emotional level to negotiate being in these relationships. So there are benefits also to monogamous couples learning some of these things. And I especially liked how she talked about our culture saying that you're with the wrong person if you aren't 100% fulfilled by them. I think that's a huge myth. Anyway, you were going to say something, D-Love?
Well, I was just going to say that those negotiating skills and all of that stuff that is mentioned about polyamory, and you say, yes, it's like doubly or triply important when you're dealing with open or poly relationships because there's just so much more emotional and psychological energy in the air. But you know, I think that so many monogamous relationships would be need those skills just as much as poly people do, and enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
We also have Victoria from Eden Fantasies on the line. Time goes so fast. I feel like, oh my gosh, got to get all this stuff in. and so, Victoria, you're here to talk to us about some great sex stuff for, you know, people who are couples, but also, you know, playing games with more than just your marriage couple or monogamous couple, how we can open up and things that can help us sort of break the ice for that. You have a coupon code to get today. Go to EdenFantasies.com to get 25% off. And the coupon code today is TOGETHER. TOGETHER. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. Hi, Jaya. Hi, D-Love.
Hello.
So what do you have for us today?
Well, we have a lot of products that are meant for couples or groups. We have a really easy-to-find category right on our homepage, a link that will take you to everything from massage kits to erotic games to, you know, lingerie and furniture and all the different accessories you can use for positioning, loads and loads of fun stuff for foreplay. But one of the ones I wanted to touch on first, I think with, you know, some of the anxiety that might be involved or, you know, just the stressful life in general, like massage is always nice, and I often talk about massage products. I think massage stones and oils and massage candles are a really nice way to wind down. And we have some that are great that not only are candles that scent the room, but also turn into a really nice massage oil. And those are ones by companies like Bee Swish and Shunga and Jimmy Jane. So those are a really nice choice. I think that they would be a good fit for pretty much anybody.
And I'm all for massage, you know, the my own DVD series on the topic, but I can't recommend it enough. And I just had the vision right now of a group massage. Like, wouldn't that be great? Just like
that sounds heavenly.
Wheels and five hands massaging you all over. That just sounds awesome.
And it's also good to take care of yourself, too. I mean, I have this one that I love by Jimmy Jane that's a dark vanilla scent, and I use it all the time, like on my heels, my elbows, like, you know, just because it's such a nice, thick massage oil. So those are good, and they'll definitely get used. You know, that when you're buying those, they're not going to go to waste. And games are fun, too. I think sometimes, especially if, you know, if it's a play party or a situation like that, a good way to break the ice would be some of the games where there's, like, you know, little teasing activities and naughty questions and things like that. So we have a few that I wanted to point out that can be played in group situations, like 101 Nights of Great Sex or Erotic Dice, which is a total classic, and Spin the Bottle. So those
Spin
are ones
the bottle
that are
for
easy.
Adults. I like that. That was my favorite game when I was a kid. Does that say anything about me as an adult? Like, that was my most favorite game, was playing Spin the Bottle. We even played Spin the Bottle with dice sometimes. Like, everybody had a number. Yeah.
That's
we were inventive as kids.
We have fun stuff like strip chocolate checkers, where the checker pieces are chocolate, and you have to lose a piece of clothing, and that, those are really fun and silly. We have Sex Casino and Sexy Poker and Truth or Dare and pretty much every incarnation of, like, an erotic game you can think of we have on the site. They're worth checking out, even just to kind of mix it up. And then there's more fun things like naked games, like chocolate body paints and edible tattoos and honey dust and ticklers. Those are fun, and those can move to the bed pretty easily. And they might be a little messy, but they're definitely fun, and, you know, get more into oral play with those. So they're worth checking out, too.
One thing I do want to touch on really quick is just safer sex stuff, because I know in, like, group situations it's really important. So do you guys carry things like dental dams? A lot of people don't even know what those are. Can you talk about that a little bit?
We do. We actually have we have a ton. I don't know the exact number. Something like 75 different types of condoms and dental dams on the site. So if you have latex allergies, if you don't want to deal with lubricants or whatever, we have, you can sort through and use the filters to filter out any of the choices that you're not interested in. But we have several different kinds of dental dams, some that are colored, some that are clear, some that are flavored, as well as female condoms and male condoms. So, and even little cases that hold your condoms so that you always are ready. So there's a lot of different choices.
So the next time you go to your play party, you know, stop at EdenFantasies.com, get your 25% off with your coupon code together, and you'll be stocked up for your play party.
Definitely. You know, the safer the better. I've actually tried the vanilla glide dams. They're by Sheer Glide, and they're not bad at all. It actually is like, you would expect it to be like a chemically vanilla taste, but it's not. It's just like a light vanilla taste. It's hard to explain.
And that's
like
a diesel dam?
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, some of them are different colors. We have, you know, all different color condoms as well. We have the Reality condom, which is a condom that women can use and insert. So there's a lot of different choices. We even have condoms that have vibrators on them.
That's fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun options for safe sex.
What about liquid latex?
So those are worth checking out.
What did you say, D-Love?
What about liquid latex? Is that, do you guys, there's a product that I've seen that you pour it on the skin and then it hardens?
We have that. It comes in like a tub, almost like body pudding or something would come in with a screw-off cap. Mm-hmm. We have it in a couple different colors. But that's mostly used like for dress up or play or sensory play. It can be poured on and it does harden. There's enough to make like, you can, in one jar, you can make like a tank top style type corset, like on the whole top of a person's body, or you could coat their arms, or you could coat, you can use it pretty much anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it peels off once it dries. It doesn't peel off easily, but it will, you know, so it's not just going to flake off once you pour it on, but it does peel off. We actually have a couple reviews of it, too, where people have bought it and they used it and then they reported on it. One thing they do say is it has a little bit of a smell when it's wet, but as it dries, the smell goes away, which, you know, kind of makes sense.
Is that a safe sex product or is that more just a novelty?
No, that's for play. I wouldn't count on liquid latex to take the place of a dental dam or anything. And because it's wet when you put it on and it's liquid and it has to solidify before you use it, I don't think I'd want to lick liquid latex. Although it could be really fun for temperature play. Like you could pour it over your breasts and then let it harden and use an ice cube on top of it and stuff like that. That would be super fun. I think liquid latex is more for foreplay and for visual and sensory, but definitely I would not count on it to be a safe sex product.
Good advice.
Thank you.
Awesome. So thank you so much, Victoria, again, for being on this week. You can go to EdenFantasies.com and use coupon code TOGETHER for 25% off. These were really great suggestions. I'm really excited. Like, I want to get some of these games. They sound really fun. I want to make, like,
don't
an erotic massage game.
Swing.
What?
I forgot to mention that that's another fun one is are the swings and the position accessories like that. Those really open up access. If you have multiple partners involved, you know, in play, then you want to be able to be comfortable and have everyone be able to have access. So that really makes for a fun night as well.
Awesome. Swings, spin the bottle, erotic dice, it's all good here on Sex with Jaya. When we come back, I have two amazing women today as my guests for today's show. More Sex with Jaya when we return.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Valentine's Day is Jaya's favorite holiday, and it's just a few days away. So she's been stirring up the house, making handmade gift packages. I have to admit, it can be a little intimidating having a sex expert as a partner. What do you get the expert for Valentine's? If you're like me and you want that special something, you're going to love these handmade red-hot Valentines that Jaya has created. Your lover will receive 3 Red Hot Touch DVDs, a hand-poured soy massage candle, 1 bottle of organic coconut oil, a handmade coupon booklet, and a Valentine inspiration booklet where Jaya shares some great ideas for a great night in with your lover. These are limited edition packages. We only have a few left, so don't procrastinate. Get them in time for Valentine's Day. Go to redhottouch.com and order today.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex with Jaya to ask the burning questions you've always wanted to ask or share a tip or comment of your own. Please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Feeling shy? Send an email to Jaya at MissJaya.com. That's J-A-I-Y-A at MissJaya.com. Now back to Sex with Jaya.
I have two really incredible, amazing, fantastic women as my guests today. Jenny Block is such an inspiration. I got her book and I couldn't put it down. It was such a reminder as to why I have chosen this lifestyle of non-monogamy. Plus, it's really excellently written. Jenny shares her true life story from monogamy to non-monogamy and everything in between. So this is just an awesome, awesome book called Open. And my other guest today is Kamala Devi. She is a dear, dear soul sister. We almost look alike. and we have such similar personalities. It's amazing. She's just busting it out with all these amazing things in her life. She's written numerous books. Most recently, though, she's released a film about getting your relationship black belt. And I couldn't make it to a release party. I wanted to go so bad, but I cannot wait to see this film. Mm-hmm. So Kamala is also living a polyamorous lifestyle with her husband of 7+ years. Hello, awesome women. Hi, Jaya.
Hi, thank you for having us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. So one of the things we were just talking about on the break is that we were all on the Tyra Banks show talking about polyamory. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's funny.
And so you guys know each other from the show. You've actually met before.
That's right. We met in a hotel room in New York, and it was all very exciting circumstances.
Awesome. So I just want to dive right into our show today and to our questions. So, Jenny, let's start with you. And can you tell us just a little bit about how you came to the decision that this type of lifestyle, love style, was the right match for you? And I know that's a long story.
Well, I wish it was a nicer story, because the truth is that I cheated on my husband after we had been married for about 3 years. And I wasn't sure why I had cheated. I had one of those sort of devil angel on my shoulders experiences. But when I came clean to him and he said to me, I can't believe you lied to me, I had this really strange sort of maybe writerly epiphany about what had really happened. Like, he could have said, I can't believe you had sex with someone else, or he could have said a million other things, but it was the lying that, bothered him, which led me on a long journey of trying to figure out what really is the foundation of marriage and the foundation of relationships and what makes a good marriage or relationship. And after, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 more years of sort of soul-searching and talking to him, we sort of decided that, you know, the only thing keeping us from trying this was that, you know, society seems to turn its nose up at it, supposedly, you know, soon to find out how many people really are involved in this. But, and then we just sort of gave it a go, and I think we were very lucky. We had a very lucky experience in terms of our first partner and in terms of the experiences that we had since then, and now it's been like 7 years.
Wow. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Kamala, what was the thing that came led you to come to the decision that this was the right path for you?
Sure. I think it was 15 years ago that I was introduced to the path, and it was basically like I was practicing it by accident. You know, I just felt I was in relationship with a woman in college, and I happened to fall in love with a man, and my girlfriend at the time said, you know, you're really falling in love with this guy, and why don't you, you know, be real and just admit it and just, you know, start dating him too instead of, like, you know, lying to me. And so I had never even knew this was possible before I actually, you know, for 6 months was dating him and dating her and going, wow, you know, it was sort of an expression of just being bisexual for me. You know, I was lesbian for years before that. And I was like, okay, if I'm bisexual, that means I can date both, right? So I just started being open and honest and dating two people, which is ironic because later when I tried to find other people who were doing it, I was very turned off by the community. I couldn't find role models or any positive examples of who was doing it or how they were living their lives, which actually led me on this path of like, darn it, I'm going to be a role model. I'm going to be a stand for, you know, what all the possibilities that aren't being taught.
Right. That's really, really interesting. And that leads me to my next question, which is what led you to wanting to teach others about non-monogamy? So for you, Kamala, it was very much about helping, like being a role model, a really positive expression of the ideal lifestyle you wanted to lead. You wanted to be a role model to other people and help other people.
That's right. I didn't, when I was first introduced to the word polyamory, which is, you know, many loves, and it's a great term that was, you know, kind of coined not long, you know, during the free love movement. But when I was first introduced to that, what I saw scared me because people who got together in polyamory groups, it was like there was just a lot of nerds, like whether, you know, they're older than me. I was pretty young at the time and overweight, and I just had all these stereotypes that I put on them and that, you know, that they had. And I thought, oh, my God, if this is what it is, I think I'd rather be monogamous. So I felt like I was secretly polyamorous. But what happened for me is I started to build community around, and I want to make this important distinction for me at least, was I was way more interested in open relationship as a path towards enlightenment and a spiritual path than just because I you know, couldn't be faithful. So I really identify as a spiritual, like polyamory is a spiritual choice for me, and it's part of my tantric path. And I just say that because my teachings and my community are all really about relationship towards, you know, self-realization. And that's really different than, you know, just getting together and having other lovers and because I don't have that much in common with other people that are practicing polyamory unless they're on a spiritual path.
Right.
So it's a little off the topic, but most of my, you know, in terms of my media and my books and my emphasis of what I teach, it's all very intertwined with polyamory is a spiritual path, and that's the
kind of stand that I'm making in the world.
One of the things I heard both of you say, which was about lying, and I also read this morning in Tristan Tiramino's article, which was that a lot of people say when they have a partner who cheats on them, it's not so much that they cheated as much as it is the lying. And so I just want to point that out, that was a really important revelation that I read this morning, and then you both talked about it, so it just reiterated that. Jenny, what led you to want to teach others about non-monogamy and write your book?
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, I have to admit it's really a lot simpler than what Kamala talks about, which is really just that I wanted to tell the truth and wanted to tell my story. I think people start to feel very isolated when, you know, they don't look like their next-door neighbors. You know, I didn't understand sort of could I be this one and only freak, and that just didn't really make sense to me. And once I started, you know, doing some research, I found there were people out there, but there weren't people who were telling the truth and putting their name on it and putting their face out there and just being sort of like, this is just what I am, you know, sort of take it or leave it. So when the publisher approached me, I sort of thought, okay, that must be some sort of sign that it's time just to, you know, put it out there. Not, in fact, I, you know, in some ways I was a little bit scared of the role model thing. As soon as the book came out, I got a lot of media, and I got invited to a lot of groups, and I kept saying, I don't really know anything about this, you know, like, you don't, I can't teach you anything, all I can do is share my story, and people were like, that's all we want, you know, all they wanted was to know that they weren't alone, and so that's really what this has turned out to be for me. I get a lot of letters from people who say, I'm in a monogamous relationship, and I really like that, and I really liked hearing your story because it just reinforced the fact that different people have different ways of doing things. And then I have other people who write to me and say, you know, we were just always sort of secretive. We just thought we were bizarre, you know, because how can you have a PTA mom? I mean, when people see me, they sort of look at me and I think they're disappointed. I'm just way too boring for what they were hoping for, you know, that somehow there'd be something dramatic or unusual or, I don't know, off the radar, and telling my story was about sort of coming out as a very average person and just saying, this is just what we do, this is just how we live and how we love, and I'm not, you know, at least from my perspective, it doesn't seem that, I don't think it's that strange. Every day there's another cheating scandal, so non-monogamy is very popular. It's honesty that doesn't seem very popular.
I second that. You know, I just noticed that we all have a lot in common. We, you know, we're all in sort of open relationships, and we all are moms, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, and we all are pretty, like, you know, when I look at my life, I have a pretty normal, quote, in quotes, life. I mean, we get up, we have our baby, you know, we do our normal things all day. So it's very interesting that there is, like, an idea of who people in open relationships are and what we look like, and that we are just pretty, you know, on the outside, we maybe look a little like everybody else. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about all the different types of non-monogamy. What are they? You know, we have swinging, threesomes, play parties, open relationships, open marriages. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, I could never do that. I'd be way too jealous. How do we deal with a jealousy issue? This is, like, the biggest question that I get whenever I'm doing interviews is, how do you deal with jealousy? So when we return, we'll have more Sex with Jaya and these juicy, juicy ladies, Jenny Block and Kamala Devi.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Valentine's Day is Jaya's favorite holiday, and it's just a few days away. So, she's been stirring up the house making these special handmade gift packages. I have to admit, it's a little intimidating having a sex expert as a partner. What do you get the expert for Valentine's? If you're like me and you want that special something, you are going to love these handmade red-hot Valentines that Jaya has created. your lover will receive 3 Red Hot Touch DVDs, a hand-poured soy massage candle, 1 bottle of organic coconut oil, a handmade coupon booklet, and a Valentine inspiration booklet where Jaya shares some great ideas for a night in with your lover. These are limited edition packages. There's only a few left, so don't procrastinate. Go to redhottouch.com and order today.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex with Jaya. To ask the burning questions you've always wanted to ask, or share a tip or comment of your own, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Feeling shy? Send an email to Jaya at MissJaya.com. That's J-A-I-Y-A at MissJaya.com. Now back to Sex with Jaya.
We're back. I'm talking with Jenny Block. JennyOnThePage.com is her website, and Kamala Devi, KamalaBlissCoach.com, and Kamala is K-A-M-A-L-A, KamalaBlissCoach.com to go to her website, and of course you can go to my website, MissJaya.com, RedHotSuch.com, or NewWorldSexEd.com. So I just want to dive in. I want to talk a little bit, Jenny, with you about, you know, one of the things I liked about your book was just you were really honest, and we were talking about the honesty issue, and that most people just aren't really good at being completely transparent. And this is a big thing in the love and eyes relationship, is that complete transparency. But one of the things I loved about your transparency is also your vulnerability in that. And that you talk about, you know, body image issues and what it means to be a woman and relationship, and you're just really examining all of that. So I just want to thank you for putting it out there. And thank you also, Kamala, because all three of us are just putting ourselves out there in a big way about these topics. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about different types of non-monogamy and what they mean. I know that there's a difference between swinging and polyamory. What would you say those differences are? I have dear friends who are swingers. They're amazing people, but there is a difference between swinging and what polyamory is. So Jenny, can you just talk a little bit on the different types of relationships you've seen? And as you were coming into this, how you decided to settle into where you're at now?
Sure. I have to start off by saying that it seems like you can't define any of these words because everybody seems to define them differently, and we're all sort of desperate to find one definition just so we can have the conversation. So what I can tell you is sort of the conclusions that I've come to just from my research and talking to people. I mean, it's my understanding that people who are swingers are interested, if not solely, then primarily in sex. They go out to parties, they go out and meet people, they're not people that they form any sort of relationship with. If it's a relationship, it is based on just the fact that they have sex. Whereas people who are involved in polyamorous relationships, as Kamala mentioned, it literally means many loves. So it's people who love more than one person. Sometimes those are sexual, sometimes they're not sexual, sometimes they're different levels of being sexual. And then, of course, open marriage is someone who is legally, by whatever, you know, at least what this country says, legally married to someone, and then has other sexual partners outside of that, often people who, in my experience, again, with polyamory, people who they love, not just people who they have sex with. Although there are other open marriages where that's sort of just a permission thing, which is actually where ours started, which was just, you know, if you want to be with someone else, that's fine. In fact, I've heard a lot of poly people say this. They start out with the don't fall in love with anyone rule, and then you realize what a idiotic rule that is, because, you know, who's going to control that? So, you know, we started out with that as well. So I don't know, maybe we were open first, I would have called us swingers, but now I call us polyamorous.
Hmm. And Kamala, what are your takes on some of these definitions? Swinging, polyamory, polyfidelity, open relationships, open marriage. What's your ideas there?
Well, I think Jenny's right on. And I would put open marriage as an umbrella term. If you're married and, you know, swingers are in an open marriage, so are polyamorous people. I like that, you know, kind of as a, hey, if your marriage is non-conventional and you have some degree of openness, whether that's for sex or for love, then it's open. But the interesting thing is that this community, those of us who are in non-monogamous relationships, have almost our own lingo. So, you know, there's new terms and words made up all the time for different types of relationships. Like, you know, we talk about triangles. Like sometimes there's, you know, three-way relationships that are equal, or maybe they're, you know, not equilateral triangles. And then it gets really clever because we start using terms like, oh, one person's the pivot point, meaning they have two lovers and they're the connecting point. You know, so a lot of it's, you know, it can be really geeky to get into what are the terms and what are the definitions. And I love this term. You mentioned polyfidelity. It sounds like a bank, doesn't it? Polyfidelity. What it means is that you've got multiple lovers who are fidelitous or, you know, in a committed relationship and they don't see other people. So that could be a triangle, three-way, that is just like any other married couple where they've, you know, got a commitment, but it's to two other people as opposed to just to one person, and then they live their life, you know, in that fidelitous arrangement. So, yeah, there's lots of fun we have with words. I even like to call it, like, poly jargon, you know, with all the different poly geometry.
I wanted to coin the phrase duo amorous. It's really just me and my husband.
Amorous.
Me and my husband and I, which I think is a polyfidelity Z. Is that right, Kamala? Is that where I am with me at the pivot point? But I just think it's so funny that we have this human need to name stuff. Maybe so you can talk about it. Maybe just so everyone can feel like, okay, good, I can check some kind of box. That's who you are. But I still don't know what I'm going to do when my census form comes.
Yep. I mean, I was at the chiropractor's yesterday, and, you know, I had to check a box about my relationship status, and it was like, other. I'm sorry, but that fits my status because they don't have open marriage on there. And I actually, here's a term that I use. I'm in a pod, and I really just like saying I have a poly pod because I've got lots of lovers, my husband has lots of lovers, and we all sort of swim together and play together like dolphins do, and it's very fluid. So that term, you know, works for me.
Hmm. So, D-Love, are you hanging in there?
I am. You know, it's like I just want to get everybody else's take on it because I've got I could go on for the full 2 hour plus another couple with all my own stuff about polyamory and how effective it is, and just that it's a whole world that I think if more people just knew that it was a possibility, there would be a lot more people engaged in it.
Yeah. So I want to dive into the jealousy issue because so many people ask me about how do you deal with jealousy? Can we give advice to people who are, you know, that maybe they're talking about what, I have so many people who come to my practice and they're like, you know what, we're thinking about having a threesome or we're thinking about opening up our relationship, but I don't know if I can deal with the jealousy. What's some advice there?
Right up front, I want to say that monogamous people have jealousy too. You know, that they go through their jealousy and they think, a lot of people think, oh, if I don't let my husband see someone else, that's going to somehow save me from feeling jealousy. But the reality is they're dealing with their jealousy anyway, you know, and creating a structure to try to stop a certain feeling isn't actually literally going to help necessarily. And then I want to say polyamorous people. So then you decide maybe you are going to open your relationship and see what happens. And it's like, just because you're poly doesn't mean that jealousy is going to go away. We really do still have to deal with it because it's a natural human emotion. We're just not trying to structure our life to cut ourselves off from experiencing something very human.
One of the things, in some ways, I think poly people have sort of a little bit of a get out of jail free card with that, because there is no grass is other green. Is the grass being greener? Go ahead and, you know, go ahead and graze, you know, and then they come back and go, oh yeah, it's just this green over here. So I'm with Kamala. There's plenty, you know, people have been bred to be jealous. We own our houses and our cars, and we want to own our lovers, which is completely impossible to do. So it just seems like I feel like there are these specific things that people in monogamous relationships who think monogamous relationships are the only way to fly pick these sort of pressure points that they think only apply to people in poly relationships, and that's one of them. You know, what about the kids, and isn't there jealousy? Now we think, well, what about your kids, and what about your jealousy? So I think it's just all a matter of how you decide to look at that universe and whether you're going to, I think, if you're in a poly relationship, you have to face it up front. There's nowhere to hide that, and I think, at least for my monogamous relationships, we spend a lot of time trying to hide that, the jealousy. Oh, you know, that's fine. Yeah, you can totally go out with your friends and then spend the entire evening, you know, by the phone shaking. I mean, how is that healthy to do? So, yeah, I think it's definitely a shared problem.
I would have
go ahead.
Something to add to the jealousy conversation, because my take on it is that jealousy is really just a pointer. It's something, it's an indicator, and it's a very big blanket word that there's so many specifics that it points to. So if you're feeling jealous, what does that really mean? Is there an insecurity coming up because you feel that your partner is going to fall more deeply in love with and leave you? Is there a sense that you're not enough as a person to maintain their interest? It's not, I don't feel like it's effective to just look at it as jealousy, because that is also one of these words that has us put the center of control outside of us. So it loses our power to say, I'm jealous because this thing is happening out there, when really there's something happening out there, but we're interpreting it and feeling it in certain ways that make us uncomfortable. And the power is to look and see, why are we uncomfortable?
So I want to just give a specific here.
People are most afraid of looking inward. You know, it's really easy to point the finger. It's really easy to talk about other people's relationships, and it's really hard to look inside and say, I don't feel very good about myself or my life or what I'm doing. So the only thing I know to do is to put that outward. I think that's another thing that frightens people about any relationships that don't sort of follow the drummer, because it involves a lot of self-reflection. And if I'm doing that, and Kamala's doing that, and you're doing that, other people don't want us to suggest that they do that too. So that means we have to shut up. There's not enough room for, you know, okay, you don't have to self-reflect if you don't want to, but I think that goes to the jealousy and the just having the capacity to love more than one person. All that has to do with just saying to yourself, hey, self, you know, what are you really comfortable with? And it's sort of shocking what we are comfortable with and how different that is from what we're programmed to think we're comfortable with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So on that note, we will come back with more. RedHotTouch.com is my site, Jenny on the Page for Jenny Block, and KamalaBlissCoach.com for Kamala Devi. More Sex with Jaya coming back after the break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Valentine's Day is Jaya's favorite holiday, and it's just a few days away, so she's been stirring up the house, making handmade gift packages. I have to admit, it's a little intimidating having a sex expert as a partner. What do you get the expert for Valentine's? If you're like me and you want that special something, you're going to love these handmade red-hot Valentines that Jaya has created. Your lover will receive 3 Red Hot Touch DVDs, a hand-poured soy massage candle, 1 bottle of organic coconut oil, a handmade coupon booklet, and a Valentine inspiration booklet where Jaya shares some great ideas for a great night in with your lover. These are limited edition packages. There's only a few left, so don't procrastinate and get them in time for Valentine's Day. Go to redhottouch.com and order today.
Total career success. What does it mean to you? Voice America presents a radio program dedicated to help you achieve your career goal. Even in times of economic uncertainty, you can achieve your financial goals. Whether you're a college grad, new in the working environment, or a top-level executive, you will benefit from the practical and proven advice on job search and career advancement. Join Ken and Cheryl Dawson every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for Total Career Success on Voice America.
Wake up with a unique daily show covering the world of sports with a new perspective. Get Off the Bench with Mitchell John. We'll bring you the current sports news and events happening now, not later like the others. Your first look at sports will feature the news and views from professional, college, and high school sports. Tune in with Mitchell John for a can't-miss program every weekday. Catch Get Off the Bench with Mitchell John weekday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex with Jaya. To ask the burning questions you've always wanted to ask, or share a tip or comment of your own, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Feeling shy? Send an email to Jaya at MissJaya.com. That's J-A-I-Y-A at MissJaya.com. Now back to Sex with Jaya.
So D-Love recently came to me, you know, his libido is back after the birth of our baby. I'm so excited that his libido is back. But, you know, he's getting ready, he's like checking out the scene out there and getting ready to, you know, start dating again. And, you know, he asked me to examine. I'm definitely like totally open when it comes to being polysensuous with other people. But there's something about intercourse that's like special for me. And so sometimes, every now and then, I get a little tweaked. I get a little jealous. Mm-hmm. And so he was asking me to examine, like, is it mental? Or is it, like, mentally, is it still there? Or is it just this emotional thing? Because sometimes, and you said this, Jenny, sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to be, like this isn't right, so I'm supposed to be upset at him if he has intercourse with another woman.
Right,
like
right.
It's some cultural conditioning. It's so interesting. But mentally, I'm like, I'm totally all for this lifestyle, but every now and then I get this, like, emotional, like, ugh, about it. So, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an episode of Modern Family, and I only caught the end of it, but apparently someone Sally Field was dating turned out to be non-monogamous, and she wasn't sure that she was up for that. And she said, I just want to be enough for someone. And I was so upset. I was so upset at what the connotations were about that, that that implies that somehow that must be we're not enough for our partners, or we don't think our partners are enough. Like, I don't understand what this thing is about being satiated in some way of what? Of love or of sex or of what? I mean, if I just want to be satiated, I'm just going to be alone. Like, I can take care of that business. And if I just want to be loved and have my family, where is that? Like, that seed seems to be so deeply rooted in all the Cinderella movies that it's just, it's really tough to deprogram that.
Yeah, it's sad to think that someone's self-worth is wrapped up in whether or not their partners have any sexual attraction to anyone other than them.
Exactly.
And with my, you know, the exact counter to that very Sally Fields sentiment is that my husband and I, our rationale for being in an open marriage is that we have so much love, you know, that we want to share it with more people. This feeling of, like, who he is and who we are together is so big, it can't be contained by just Kamala and Michael. It's like we want to overflow to, you know, other lovers and friends.
That's how John and I definitely are. I mean, we were just, in the beginning, we're like, okay, this is so amazing, we have to share it with other people. We can't just keep this for ourselves.
I think mine's a lot more shallow. My dad always says, Jenny's always been a lot. That's how my husband describes me. Like, you know, when I came out to my parents, they were both like, yeah, we are really not at all surprised or concerned, because now we actually feel better for everyone, because it seems like a lot of pressure off everybody. And I sort of laugh, but that's, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. It's much easier to be sort of the perfect whatever for someone when you're not expected to be the perfect whatever, because there's lots of other people to fill other parts of your life. Always, you know, talk to people about how you have, you know, friends that you like to go out and have a drink with, and friends that you bowl with, and friends that you scrapbook with, whatever your different weird parts of your personality are. And so in some ways, you know, being poly is just about having all those little components filled, those little compartments filled in, without anybody feeling like there's some sort of failure because they don't complete you, you know?
So I want to repeat your websites again. JennyOnThePage.com, Jenny Block's website. You can go there and get her amazing book, Open. And Kamala is BlissCoach.com. Kamala at BlissCoach.com. Wow, I can't talk. Kamala at BlissCoach.com is her email, but you can go to BlissCoach.com to see her new video about getting your relationship black belt, which I'm excited to talk about. But before we do that, one of the things I wanted to talk and get your opinion about before we close is, what about finding other people to play with? This is a big question that I get a lot. Is like, okay, well, we're a couple, we're open, we want another woman to play with. I heard it referred to as the mythical unicorn, like it doesn't exist. Every couple wants another woman to play with. But how do you recommend people go about, you know, if they are opening their relationship to either being swingers or polyamory, to find other people to play with? Dive in, Jenny.
Well, you know, that I think is the hardest question of all, and I get it all the time, too. And from my own personal experience, I don't think you should look very far. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you look around at the people who you already love and who already love you, when you sort of break that barrier, that conversation, and say, have you guys ever talked about, it can have a surprising result. I understand it could also have a horrifying result. You want to make sure you're careful about who you say that out loud to. But should you have, you know, friends that you can talk to about that sort of thing, that for me, actually, in a lot of ways, was my first and only step, because that was the first person who we did call our unicorn, because, my God, she had to have been mythical. I mean, just how do you bring someone into a marriage, first-timers doing that, and it was just perfection. Everyone always tells me not to consider that the norm. That was a very amazing thing to have happened. But I think the other thing is just the same way you meet any people anyway. I mean, at what point do you meet someone and say, oh, one day I want to, you know, live in the city and have 10 babies? Well, you know, at that point in the conversation, maybe you say, you know, hey, I'm actually in a, you know, a sort of non-traditional marriage, and this is what we're interested in. And if they're scared off, and, you know, if my dad used to say, you don't want to be friends with them anyway.
Yeah, I love the difference in our opinions, because I totally disagree. So I'm super glad that you brought up those points. But I frankly feel very strongly that if you're deciding to go into open relationship and you've recognized that you want this new paradigm, then get the hell out of the old paradigm, which means stop asking, you know, like normal people if they want to convert and like find yourself, you know, surround yourself with people who get it already, who understand it, and it'll dramatically increase the chances of you actually having community and success and not having a lot of drama amongst all of the, you know, monogamous people around you. So I just feel really strongly about, hey, in every major city, fortunately, these days, there are poly organizations and, you know, networks and listservs, and, you know, get, once you and if you're in this borderline place, you and your partner are like, hey, maybe we should talk about opening the relationship, then immerse yourself in a new cultural perspective, surround yourself with people who are doing this to really strengthen the possibility, because my experience is if people just experiment with other monogamous people, they're going to perpetuate a lot of dysfunction and misunderstanding. And
so
that
Kamala, really quick, I have to interrupt you because I want to hear about your film, and we've only got a few seconds left. So can you tell us just a little bit about your film, since I didn't get a chance to watch it? What's going on there?
So Earning Your Black Belt in Relationship is with me and Reed Mahalko, and what's exciting about it is we've taken the top 10 deepest, you know, like our black belt secret tips, and we have transmitted this in a humorous teaching so that you really learn the best ways to not only, you know, if you're just opening your relationship, here's how you do it. If you're a total master at it, you can still take your practice even further.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for joining us. JennyOnThePage.com, BlissCoach.com for Kamala Devi, RedHotTouch.com for my site. Enjoyed Sex with Jaya today.
Thank you, Jaya.
Thanks so
much. Thank you.
Welcome to Inspiring Her to Open Up, Negotiating Open Relationships. Hi, I'm Jaya. I'm an internationally recognized sexologist, author of Red Hot Touch, and founder of New World Sex Education, a company dedicated to creating high-quality education materials to help you have the best sex ever. You may have seen me on The Tyra Banks Show, CNN, TLC Strange Sex, The Oxygen Network, or Playboy TV. More importantly, I've been living in an open relationship for over 10 years, and I'm happily living with two men at this present moment. You may be wondering how it all works, how we found each other, and most importantly, how you can introduce this concept of an open relationship to your lover or lovers. I mentioned that I'm currently living with two men. It's true, and we all get along really well. We're all free to see other people. One of my partners actually has another female lover right now, and I'm loving it. Not a bit of jealousy, because she knows how to navigate the open relationship waters. She sent me flowers the first night she and my partner had sex. The biggest point is that we've been doing this open thing successfully and fairly harmoniously for almost 10 years. We're proof that it can work. There are many different models for open relationships. You have to find the model that works best for you. In my case, we're a V. I'm the apex. The two men don't interact with one another, hence the V, because they both interact with me. Other lovers may come in and out, but essentially the three of us are a family. If you're currently single, then you get to decide the model that works best for you. If you're with a partner, well, then the two of you will be in the stage of discovering what works for you both and what it is that you really value. I've been with my partner, John, for over 6 years when I met Ian. We've been together for actually 10 years, but we were 6 years into our relationship when I met Ian. And at the time, our relationship was really rocky as we'd just gone through some really hard stuff with a breakup with another person that was in our relationship before that. My model has always been about love. For others, you know, sex without love is more comfortable. It's for some people, it's that you have to have love before you can have sex. So you have to choose what is right for you. Back to John, Ian, and I. And, well, we had to decide that, you know, Ian wanted to practice polyamory. He thought, I think it was a few weeks before he met me, he thought to himself, this is what I really want to do, and I'm going to commit to this. And he thought he'd be single for a really long time. He was pretty much like, this is the death sentence of my relationships. I'm probably going to be single, but this is what I really want to do. And it turns out that he was suddenly dating 5 women all at once. I'll share the secret to his success in a moment. And all these women, by the way, they knew about each other. It wasn't like, you know, he was dating women secretively. Each one of them knew what he was up to. So Ian and I, we've been together for 4 years now, and we met at a dance class, actually. And I thought he was this really straight-laced guy, and he thought I was really conservative. So we surprised each other by revealing, you know, all of our inner freakiness, that we wanted open relationships, that, you know, he found out I was a sexologist, and it turned out that we weren't as normal as our first perceptions of one another, and that, to the both of us, was fantastic. So you may be asking, well, that's great, Jaya, but how do I start seeing and sleeping with more than one woman? Let me start by sharing what Ian did that had him seeing five women all at once, with each of them knowing about the others. The secret to his success is so simple, yet it seems to contradict male instinct and what many of you have been taught. He was honest. Yep, from the beginning, he was totally honest. Nothing is a bigger turn-on to me than honesty. I often say, honesty is my biggest turn-on, so just tell me the truth. It worked like an aphrodisiac on the women he was interested in. And these were hot women. I'm talking supermodel types of women. Actresses, models, successful women, dancers. He had it all. And all he had to do was tell the truth. He would take them out on dates and tell them exactly what he was up to. A conversation might go something like this. Hey, Julie, I'm up to something that's a little non-traditional. And I feel a little vulnerable maybe saying this to you because you may not want to see me afterwards, but I have to put it out there. And the truth is that I'm interested in polyamory or open relationships, and this is what that looks like. So then he would go on to explain to them what that looks like. For example, he may say something like, I'm in a great relationship with this woman, Jaya, and, you know, we've been together, blah, 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 and this is how we are in relationship. And, I'm in this other relationship with this woman, and, you know, I would love to also be relating with you, and this is how you may interact with us. You might want to meet Jaya, or we can date separately on the side. This conversation, of course, depends on the agreements that you make with your other lovers, if you have other lovers. So, you know, it was very simple. He just told the truth. And even if they were looking for monogamy, they were so turned on by his honesty that they wanted to try this open way of relating with him. So the first key to success is being honest, authentic, and transparent. Women are tired of inauthenticity and games. If you want to turn her on, be honest with her about wanting to be in an open model of relationship. And you'll be surprised by the results. Ian was, and he continues to be, to this very day. He's currently seeing three lovers now. We all know about each other, we're all friends, and things are going pretty great. But what if you are already in a relationship? How do you introduce this to your wife or your girlfriend? I had someone recently write to me, you know, he said there's all kinds of information about how to get into an open relationship, but what if you're already with somebody or you've been married for 20 years? How do we get our partner to open up? The answer is very delicately. When you're single, you don't have so much to lose, but when you're married and you have kids and you have a lot going on between the two of you, you have a lot at stake. Your wife could freak out if the concept of an open relationship isn't presented in the right way. So I have a number of steps to help you present this, to ease a current lover or partner into the idea of an open way of relating. So step one is delicate introduction, an indirect introduction. So if you indirectly introduce the idea, you want to use something like maybe a TV show that you saw. I have an episode on TLC's Strange Sex with Ian and John, my other partner. And, you know, that might be a great way, something like, oh, I saw this girl, Jaya, and her two lovers. What do you think of that? Or it could be an article or a blog or a story that you read. And, you know, it goes very much something like this. Hey, honey, I read the story today about a couple in an open relationship. What do you think of that? And then watch her reaction carefully. Does she recoil in disgust? Does she politely respond? Does she get excited? You can provide more information about the article. Like, you know, if she recoils in disgust, you could say, you know, well, it was really interesting because they were a family and they were raising a child and they seemed like, you know, everything was really harmonious. And, you know, there are things like educate yourself first before you go into, you know, introducing this indirectly to a partner. And you don't want to make it seem like you are all like gung-ho or that you're fighting against her. Like, don't push it if she's recoiling.
you want to introduce information to her. There's another great book that I can give you called Sex at Dawn, which has some of the science around the anthropology and the history of human sexuality that can help you, you know, talk about it in as you're a scientist, not so much in the emotional terms, but as you're, you know, intellectually or scientifically looking at it as a social scientist. Now, if her reaction is more positive or curious, then you definitely want to move on to step two. And step two is fantasy. So ask her if she's ever thought about being with another person or having a threesome or swapping is some of the terms. This gives her permission to start talking about and fantasizing about the idea of opening up your relationship. Now, after she shared with you, you can add that, add that you've been thinking about it too. You can spare her too many details, like you don't want to say, hey, I've been thinking about your best friend, Susie, and I'd really love to invite her into my bed and give her oral sex and then do her from behind. You don't want to throw all that out right away. That can be a little bit overwhelming. And so, you know, saying something more like, I've been thinking about that too and fantasizing about that too. And that's really exciting to me, or it's really exciting to me, the idea of, having new lovers. Include her in it. Don't make it all about you. Don't make it all about, I can't wait to go out and sleep and fuck all these other women. It's more about, how you can include her in this as something that she's doing as well. Now, if you've been thinking that open relationship means that you get to go out and play and do all this stuff and she doesn't get to, because that would just tweak you in your jealousy realms, well, then you have some work to do, because it's sort of like the same with, you know, if you're wanting to get a lot of oral sex, but you're not giving her any, this has to be a win-win situation for both of you. And in order to bring her in and really do this successfully, I think it's something where you have to come to the right agreements. And I'll touch on that in a moment. So another thing I want to add, though, is that she may ask for details. And if she does, if she wants juicy details, like maybe it turns her on. Like, for example, with me, I really get turned on by hearing all the juicy details of my partner with another lover. I love it. I love fantasizing about him with another woman. It's something called compersion, where you get turned on by the idea of your partner being with someone else. And so I love all the nitty-gritty details. So if she does ask, if she says, you know, what's your fantasy really like? Like, who would you want to be with? And she wants those details, then go ahead and be honest. It's a turn-on. Remember that this can be a turn-on. And now step three, making it a reality. If she seems really excited and turned on, you might want to mention it again while you're making love. So this is to start sort of integrating this reality, this possibility, this fantasy into more pleasure. So you're tying knots in her brain or making connections in her brain between having an open relationship or experimenting with threesomes or swinging or any of that type of relationship, whatever it is you choose, with the pleasure. So this is a great way to do that. Remember her fantasy. So the fantasy that you talked about earlier, if it's, you know, I really would love to have a new lover, and I really would like to experiment with some things, new sexual things, or just to be with somebody who isn't, you know, having to deal with all the logistics of life every day. So you've been married for a long time. This might be one of her fantasies, is I want a younger lover, whatever that is. And you want to incorporate what it was that you talked about into your lovemaking. So during lovemaking, just whisper in her ear, you know, hey, honey, imagine you're making love to that young, hot lover. And right now he's going down on you. And you are just, oh my God, you're so wet because you're just so turned on. Oh, imagine that, you know, we're swapping or whatever it is that her fantasy is. And you're beginning to wire her pleasure centers to these fantasies. You're beginning to wire her pleasure centers to the idea of how to open up, of wanting to open up, of what it might look like on a pleasure level to open up. Now, step four. This is taking it a little further into the reality. Now's the time to be really honest. Let her know that an open relationship is what you'd like to try, or whatever form that is. You know, there's different names for open relationship. There's polyamory, there's threesomes, there's swinging, there's open. Let her know that an open relationship is what you want, and let her know that it isn't because anything is wrong with her or the relationship. This is so, so, so important. I cannot tell you how important it is. Sometimes we feel really insecure, both men and women, when our partners want to open up, especially when they first fall in love with someone. There's something called new relationship energy. And, you know, you're all like in love and you've got all those chemicals and hormones going for that new person that you've fallen in love with. And the person we've been in relationship can feel really, you know, insecure at that time. So you have to reassure her before you've slept with anybody that you love her and that there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with her. And I am assuming here that there is nothing wrong and there are no major issues in your relationship. If you do have major issues in your relationship, then you need to be honest about that. And it needs to be at that point, like that point before you sleep with someone else. For example, let's say you're in a sexless relationship. I see a lot of couples in sexless marriages, and you know, this is always a really radical idea for them, is maybe the best way to keep longevity in your relationship is actually to open your relationship up and have other lovers. And that's okay. So it's okay. That's one thing, is like giving her permission. Give her permission to be okay with this. We have a lot of shame around this, around stepping outside the box. So give her permission that it's okay. And, you know, if you're in a sexless relationship, the conversation becomes about needs at this point. Because we need love, we need affection, we need connection, and sex is a need. So look at what it is about sex that really is something that is a deep, deep need. Is it the need to connect with another person? Is it because you receive love through touch and that type of connection? What is it that you really need? And communicate that. If your partner is not willing to meet that need, then you need to state that need and let them know how you feel about not getting that need. You know, women speak on how they feel. Men speak more about how they think. But here's a place where you really need to touch into your feelings, because she'll relate to that. She'll relate to your vulnerability and your transparency and honesty. Again, I'm going to go back to that. That is the turn on. That is the way to get people to open up, is to show them that you have that integrity and that honesty. This isn't about do this or else I'm leaving. Be clear about that as well. It's not, I have this need and I'm going to get it met, and whether you like it or not, that's not the way to approach it. It's more about that vulnerability and that honesty while reassuring her that you value your marriage and relationship, that you love her. But if she can't meet that need of yours, then you have to come to a new agreement in your relationship. Open relationships are not about cheating, but about honesty. And so this is an opportunity to be able to open up with her blessing, and with the blessing of, okay, well, maybe I can't meet your sexual needs because I'm just not attracted, or I'm just not at a place right now where I can meet that need, but let's discuss what it looks like to open up. That leads us to the next step. Step number five, your agreements and values. So you've come to a place where you've decided to give it a go. Either she's really excited about it and totally on board, or she's a little curious or leery, or it's the sexless marriage situation I was just talking about. Don't just jump. Don't just go, okay, she said yes, I'm going to go sleep with somebody really quick, or I've already have somebody that I really want and we've been flirting, and no, go slow. First thing is to come up with three major agreements. And you know, this may seem like, oh my God, I have to do so much talking, I have to do so all the preparation. Yeah, and all of that really makes us successful. If you don't do it and you don't do it with integrity and honesty, it doesn't work. I've seen it like fall apart over and over and over again. And then you get a bad reputation, especially if you're single and you know you're out there dating a lot of women, that you know, that oh, that guy's not honest, or he cheats, or you don't want to have that reputation. So go slow. You'll get it. Sex is not something that's scarce. It's out there. Women love sex. And if you take your time and you're honest, you're going to get more of it. I promise. So the first thing is to come up with three major agreements with your current partner. Now, this could be, you know, a safe sex agreement. This could be permission first, meaning that she wants to, you know, check out the people that you're possibly going to sleep with and give you some kind of permission. I don't like to use that in my own relationship. Like, oh, you need my permission to go sleep with someone. That's not the way I like to operate, but it helps make some women feel more secure. And even if she, I'm saying like, oh, I don't want to have to give permission, but I always feel so respected when my partner comes to me and says, hey, this is going on. I'm having this connection with this woman and, you know, I'd like to know where you're at. How do you feel in regards to me having sex with her? Because for me, what's more of a trigger is actually like penetration vaginally. I'm okay, like anal or anything else. But then when it comes to vaginal penetration, I don't know, maybe it's because the woman could get pregnant and that, what that would mean, the consequences of that. For me, that's always like the biggest trigger. So my partner, Ian, he always checks in with me. He's like, hey, I'm about to do this. And how do you feel? Where are you at? And, you know, of course, it feels so amazing when he can go into that with my blessing, like, oh, yes, like, I'm so like, have the best time ever, like, go out and, you know, treat her great. Then, you know, he has a whole other, you know, just great. He has such a support behind him for that new relationship or that new sexual adventure that he is going on. And, you know, that is, you know, permission first. That's kind of what that means. Or, you know, say an agreement is no anal. She doesn't want you to do anal because maybe that's sacred to your relationship only. So, you know, find what those agreements are. And I would really say like limit it to three major agreements or things that you really value in your current relationship. My biggest one is safe sex, safer sex practices. You know, people ask me about that all the time. Well, if you have multiple partners and your partner's sleeping with other people, what, are you worried about safe sex? Yes, I'm really worried about it, which is why it's one of my major agreements. My partners must have safe sex. I want to know, you know, what are the STD status of the people that they're sleeping with, those kinds of things, because that's me. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe and I want to know those things. So, after that is, I would say another guideline is dating within the species. This was a big thing for my partner, Ian, because he kept dating women who were very clear that they wanted monogamy. And, you know, they were so turned on by his honesty that they, of course, wanted to try this thing out. But eventually they wanted monogamy and it created a lot of messes. So when I talk about dating within the species, that means don't date someone who wants monogamy clearly. I mean, if you're a single guy right now, or if you're in a relationship, either way, this goes for either one of you that, you know, really you want to stay away from a lot of drama and emotional messes. And if you're dating someone who clearly wants a commitment, who clearly wants it just to be you and her, even if, you know, she says, well, maybe I'll try this thing, or, you know, I think a lot of women think, oh, I can change him. He's going to want to be with me. And that was the case with Ian in the beginning, was that he was dating a lot of women who I think thought that, oh, he's going to change and he's going to choose me or something like that. So just be clear with what you want. And I think that is really helpful, is when you know yourself, like, I know that I'm committed to this lifestyle and I'm committed to being open, then you can say that. Or if you're not committed and, you know, maybe you're playing a little while until you find someone you want to be monogamous with, then great. But just be clear with the women that you're dating about that. A great book to help you with this is a book called Opening Up by Tristan Cheromino. I highly recommend that. It has a little checklist at the end of the chapter, so you can go through it with your partner and see if that is something, you know, like, oh, anal's off limits, or kissing is off limits, or falling in love is off limits. It can kind of help you shape your agreements and your values and what kind of relationship it is that you want to be in with your partner or your lovers, or, you know, if you're single and you want to be with, you know, lots of women, and that's, you know, you don't want to have a main primary relationship. That's another thing I haven't talked about, is like you can have primary relationships and then secondary and tertiary and, you know, have all kinds of different types of relationships. Like I have a primary relationship with both John and Ian. We all live together. I've been with them for a long time and we're raising a child together. And so that is, it's just, that's our family network. But then outside of that, we have other lovers, which are not, they're all secondary or tertiary lovers, because we frankly just don't have time. We're very, very busy. So that's another thing to weigh in is, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy to date five women at once. It's a lot. And so Ian has chosen more of like three is his speed, and John is more like two is his speed, because it's a lot of work. So my biggest advice is just go slow. You don't need to rush into this. All the women involved will appreciate that you take your time and that you're honest with them and that you do this with integrity. Of course, inspiring her to open up is much easier from the beginning. If you're in a newer relationship or if you're just meeting a woman and you introduce her to this from the beginning, then it's just so much easier. It's easy if you know the women to look for as well, and how to meet those women. And it's easy when you both long for more spice in your relationship. Say that, you know, you both kind of got a little bored and this might be a way for you to navigate that bedroom boredom and get a little spice and more aliveness in your sexual lives together. If you're in a current relationship and she's adamantly against the idea, then you have a big decision to make. I don't advocate cheating, but I am a strong advocate of living a fully expressed life. You may, you know, have to decide to end the relationship, and that's an option. You may decide to try different versions of being open while being honest with her. Whatever the case, navigating the open relationship waters is a trip that takes skillful communication and a lot of patience. In my opinion, it's all very worth learning. I'm having a ton of fun, and I wouldn't want to live any other lifestyle other than being in an open relationship. Some of the benefits to me have been, you know, just getting my needs met. Like my lover, John, he loves movies. Ian doesn't like to go see movies. I mean, just simple things like that in a relationship. Or different sexual types. Like John is very much a more energetic, tantric kind of guy, whereas Ian's more into like the BDSM world. And I get to experience such different things because of the fact that I date different men. I just spent 3 hours yesterday romping around with a man doing research for a new book of mine, exploring sexual positions for 3 hours. And I would never be able to do that if I had not been in an open relationship and had partners who understand and who we have just such great communication and understanding and ability to navigate these waters. If you want to learn more, look for my audio course on open relationships with my lovers, John and Ian. Visit my website, sexisyou.com, and learn more about how you can successfully open up. We cover negotiating and communication skills, relationship styles, longevity, and more. The site again is sexisyou.com. Until we meet again, I wish the best sexual pleasure, wellness, and vitality to you ever.
Hey, Jason Capital here, and welcome to this little audio session I'm doing here for you today. As kind of, I think this is going to end up being a bonus for all of Carlos Zuma's preferred customers and whatnot. So Carlos asked me to do this. I was totally glad to talk about the subject we're going to be talking about today, which, of course, I don't think anyone can actually be bored, you know, talking about a subject like this, but it is anal sex. Now, I am not some sexy guy, master, like some other people would call themselves, or like some other people, actually are. I am just a guy who happens to be good with words and understand women and emotions and psychology really well, and I've gotten really good at meeting, attracting, and, you know, hooking up with some of the hottest women around, really. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of time, but it's something I've gotten done pretty well, and I'm glad to share what I know with good people I know out there who are going to use the information. I know Carlos's customers are some of the top customers around. I know that they're the kind of customers who don't just buy information and kind of throw it to the side, but the people who actually purchase information with the intention of using it and then go ahead and actually use it and then most importantly, go out there and benefit from the material. So I hope that trend sticks today with this audio here today and whatever else Carlos puts together for you, in this package you're getting here. So like I said, my name is Jason Capital. If you don't know me, you can find me at datehotter.com or getoutoffriendzone.com. I have a couple different books, one on getting out of the friend zone, of course, and another one, which is my personal favorite, which is simply about how to meet, attract, and connect with the hottest women around in your town, in your city, wherever the hell you are. So I live in San Diego, California right now. I'm a pretty young dude, but some of you may have met me. I've spoken at a few other events and things like that. So I'm just, wanted to introduce myself in case you didn't know me. And now that we've kind of gotten that out of the way, we're kind of friends now, let's just jump into the butt here, right? Let's just jump into the anal portion of this anal sex audio. My mom, by the way, would be so proud of me for recording an audio right now about anal sex and getting your girlfriend or the girl you're hooking up with to have anal sex with you. Anyway, so what I have here today for you is basically it's a script. It's it's not long. It's like a minute long script that you're gonna say to your girlfriend or the girl you're hooking up with, whatever girl it is, that you, for lack of a better term, want to stick your dick in her ass. Okay. You don't have to say it word for word. I'll kind of go over it with you, and I'll kind of say it in the audio how I would say it to a girl, how I have said it on many occasions. Very successfully, I should also add. And then you can kind of understand the gist of it and the pitch of it, and then you can kind of, take it in your own. And if you figure out a way to make it even better, please let Carlos or me know, because I'd love to hear what you're doing with it or how many asses you're sticking your dick in, of course, right? So I should probably tell you where this came from. It's actually kind of a cool story. One of my very, very good friends, I can't tell you his name, unfortunately. He's actually kind of a public figure in the internet world in a different market, actually. He's in the fitness market. But he's also a pretty young dude. I think he's like 29. Lives in New York City, and he has just an absolute fetish for banging girls in the ass, okay? That's his thing. He loves to do it. So over the last 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, he has really, figured out a way. He's decent with women. He's not, amazing or anything, but he's figured out a way to, once he starts having sex with a woman, to convince her, to get her to even want herself to have anal sex, and he's got some super high success rate with it when he does it, and he kind of helped me with it, and then I kind of tweaked it a little bit and kind of tweaked it to my own personality and with some of my psychology knowledge and things I wanted to add in there, little words and stuff. But that's really where it came from him. One day me and him were just texting, and we were just being dudes, and we were bragging about girls that we were talking to and stuff, and he actually texted out the majority of the script to me that he was using back then, and I was like, dude, that is brilliant. I'm going to start using that. So I tried it out. It worked. I tweaked it. It worked even better. And now I've gotten it down to a point that if I've had sex with a girl a couple times, even if she's never done anal sex before, I can, there's times where I've gotten her to go from she would never consider it to getting ready to do it 90 or 120 seconds later. So it works pretty well. So that didn't excite you. I don't know what will to, take action on this when we get done. But on that note, let's get to the script. Let's get to how to do this. So what you're going to do is, first of all, you want to do this with a woman that you've at least had sex with. You do not do this with a girl you just made out with and sit her down and be like, yeah, I know we made out and it was such a hot makeout session and I really just want to stick it in your ass. Don't do that, okay? You need to have sex with this girl. You need to, more importantly, on top of that, you need to care about this. I don't just want you walking around sticking your dick in any butthole, okay? I want you to care about this person. I want you, I know Carlos is the same way, and a lot of guys can use the stuff that we teach for evil. I certainly hope that you're not one of those guys. I want you to make sure that if you're going to do this with your girlfriend or the girl that you're hooking up with or whatever, that this is someone that you care about and you're not just trying to take advantage of her, okay? Because there's a difference between wanting something and then, kind of talking to the person and getting them to want it too, as opposed to just kind of wanting to, take full advantage or be manipulative or to be not totally honest, because this whole thing is about honesty, okay? Really, really is about honesty and kind of just reframing things. So, well, now that we got that out of the way, what you're going to do is you're going to sit her down after you've had sex with her a couple times, not like immediately after, you have sex with her a few times, it's been a few days, you see each other again, she comes over, whatever. So you sit her down, and be totally comfortable. Throughout this entire thing, you have to be 100% comfortable and congruent with what you're saying. You need to be relaxed. Your body language needs to be good. Don't be nervous or anything. Just stay calm. Stay easy. stay chill, stay relaxed, and just kind of tell her this, okay? So you want to start it off by telling her something unique about her that you've noticed that you just absolutely love about her. Something that just makes her so awesome to you. Something that is just so unique to her that you've noticed about her that you just love about her. And it's what you think about when you think about her, and it makes her stand out to you. Let her know what that is, okay? It's a real, real compliment straight from the heart. It's unique, and it'll stick, and it'll make her, it'll really set the tone for the rest of the script after. So start off with that and let her know that and say, because of that. So for instance, let's say it was, you know, maybe it's something she does every time she laughs, you know, with her mouth or with her eyes or with her nose or something. It's just so cute to you. You just, you know, you can't help it. You love it. So let her know about that, okay? So you let her know about that, and you tell her that because of that and this energy that we have between us, like this energy. I mean, it's not normal. You know, this is what I would say. I'd be like, you know, this, because of like that, I just love that about you. And because of this energy that we have between us, it's not something I'm used to. I don't usually feel that with the women that I talk to. There's something I've been thinking about that I really definitely want to experience with you. It's something that's kind of important to me, but I only want to experience it with you only if and when you're ready for it too, okay? Tell her, you know, and then you tell her that, tell her what it is, of course, tell her that, you know, it is anal sex, that is what I'm referring to. And you know, and then the way I would say it is like, you know, this is obviously something I definitely want to experience with you, but of course only if and when you're ready for it too. And you know, and don't like try and beat around the bush, but like, look, I understand what I'm saying here. I'm saying I want to have anal sex, and I understand that it's like a total guy thing to do or whatever. And obviously it's something that I would, you know, as just a guy, just really physically enjoy. There's no question about that. Like, duh. But even more than that, there's something about it that it takes this trust and this comfort to another level between a guy and a girl. See, you letting me put it there is showing that you trust me to be sensitive and caring about you and that area and everything down there. And by doing that, you know, we're taking our bond between us to this whole another level that doesn't usually happen between, you know, between a guy and a girl in a relationship. We're taking it to this different level simply because of the trust that you would have to put in someone to let them, you know, kind of like stick it in your ass. And you literally, you would say that to her, you know, just like that, totally, you can make jokes that, yeah, I do want to stick it in your ass, but at the same time, let her know that by her letting her, by her letting you do that, she is putting a certain amount of trust in you, that is, you know, that isn't normal for a normal relationship. She's really saying that she really does trust you, and you're showing her that she can trust you, okay? And then, you know, after that, I always like to make a joke about, like, you know, all the trust and everything, not to mention. And then I would always say something like, not to mention the rolling orgasms we give you, whatever, so they'll toss that in there, whatever. So you say that, and then you'd say, obviously, you know, this is where the close of the pitch, you want to call it that, you'd say, but obviously, you know, it's something that is pretty important to me, and I really do want to see us challenge and take our trust between each other to an even deeper, stronger level. And sure, you know, we could like go on a whole weekend trip with like a 5-hour drive somewhere and probably have a crappy time or whatever. But I, to be totally honest, I would really rather just lay with you in my bedroom in our own little world and take this even deeper. And then when you finish that last sentence, you know, you're looking her right in the eyes, you're relaxed, you're honest, you're congruent, you're in the moment. And just see what she says. Just kind of take from there. I think you're going to find that she's going to be a lot more receptive to it and a lot more open to it than you may have previously thought. If she doesn't actually jump your bones and, you know, make sure you stick it in her behind immediately, which could potentially happen to you. So that was like the general script of how it works. Basically, it comes down to you need to start off with by telling her something unique that you've noticed about her, that make sure it's honest, make sure it is something that unique that you have actually noticed about her that makes her so awesome to you. And because of that, and because of that energy you guys have, there's this thing that you personally, for whatever reason, just really like and you really want to experience with her, and it's anal sex, but only if and when you know she's ready for it too. And then obviously overcome that first objection and tell her right away that, yes, I understand this is like a total guy thing, and of course I would love it physically. Like, why would I lie? Like, you're amazingly gorgeous. I would, you know, be phenomenal for me. But even more than that, then you take it to the next level and you reframe it as an agreement of trust between you guys, how you're taking your, the trust and the comfort between you guys to another level, and how, you know, by her trusting you to put your dick around an area that's, I mean, truthfully, really sensitive and could actually be very painful for her, it's showing how much she trusts you, and it's showing that she can trust you, and showing that you're honest and you want this challenge, and you want to challenge a relationship like this. And of course, you know, it's pretty good for her too with all the rolling orgasms that she might catch all of it too. And then, you know, you go to the close where obviously, you know, it is something that's important to me, and I really do want to see us challenge and take our trust between each other to this whole other deeper, stronger level. And, you know, and then you kind of do like the little, like, you know, yeah, we could go on like a weekend trip together, just me and you, and like a 5-hour drive somewhere, and it might rain outside, and it might be like a, you know, like a whatever weekend or whatever, and a whole lot of work, but really, I'd rather just stay here, lay here with you in my bedroom, in our own little world, and take this even deeper. And that's it. That is the anal script, okay? And that motherfucker, part of my French, works extremely well, okay? So like I said, you're going to use that after a couple times you guys have had sex, one, and two, when you guys are sexually comfortable. You can't drop this on a girl where it's been like drunken sex the last two Friday nights or something like that. Like, you know, there needs to be like a lot of comfort sexually between you and her. And obviously that's, you know, that's a whole another subject, and Carlos covers that in a lot of his other courses, as do I. But that is the script right there. Now, before I get going here, there's just one little warning I want to attach to this script and to this whole thing. And that is, if I find out that you use this for evil, I will send the sex gods to find you and cut off your penis or something. Maybe they'll run their anal voodoo on you. I don't know, something like that. But the point is, don't use this for evil. Use it for good. Use it with a girl that you really care about, that you really do want to take you know, your relationship to a deeper, stronger, more honest level sexually, because that's kind of what anal sex is. And on top of that, dude, anal sex is awesome, okay? So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, you can check me out at datehotter.com. I am Jason Capital. Big ups to my man Carlos for having me out here, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.